it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The fastest 4 hours of the day. You got a great show.
From the WGN Tower.
He's down on the phone.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
Might say...
WGN.
Dot FM.
Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Montreal and Sauk Village. Adam Landerman is awaiting trial for the heinous murder of two friends.
Yeah.
With a plan to dismember and dispose of the bodies last year. Landerman, with three other knucklehead suspects, were at the house with the corpses.
Oh, Jesus, what's that smell?
While these Mama Lukes played video games.
Ooh.
Now Adam has filed a complaint about jail conditions.
What?
Saying he's forced to eat breakfast at 6:15 and lunch at 10 a.m. And the meals are completely inadequate in quantity to satisfy grown male detainees.
Somebody's got to give a sh**. Not me.
And the jail only offers hand towels for showers.
I can't live like this.
Here's what I would do with this moron. Give him a towel the size of a dollar bill to dry off with. And Adam, learn how to make a pulled pork sandwich out of a bar of soap.
Man.
How about that?
You are one pathetic loser.
And hey, Stugatz, if you're unhappy with jail conditions, don't murder anyone!
Will you keep out of this or shut up?
The Ku Klux Klan in South Carolina is recruiting people by leaving bags of candy at people's houses. I hope there's no dark chocolate in those bags.
This is a little humor.
I don't think that's racist.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting 70 feet above the ground in the Tribune Tower, on the Gear Force, on the Super G, the Streamliner, WGN.FM, Chicago.
Jim Ramsey is in for Tom. Hey, Jimmy.
Hi there, Gary. How are you?
Good.
That's good.
I see that they're going to name...
Who?
Navy Pier. Is it going to be the whole pier? The park at Navy Pier is going to be named Polk Brothers Park because of a donation from the Polk Brothers Foundation. Are you aware of Polk Brothers? Were you here when they were still in business?
Probably.
They sold appliances. They had been around a long time.
I can't afford appliances. I don't go in those kinds of stores.
You don't have a refrigerator?
Yeah, it came with the house.
Okay. Well, anyway, they had these plastic Santa Clauses that they would sell, and they were very popular back in the day.
Yeah.
And I got a nice black Santa that I put out every year.
Yeah.
Because I like diversity. So I'm happy to see the Polk people are still doing good, because they were a big deal. They were the biggest appliance. They were the apt of their day.
Now, what happened to them?
They just closed it up. I don't know if they just ran out of gas or if they just decided it was enough, but their foundation is still active. That's good.
I have heard of them. So I must have been here when they were still operating.
I don't know how long they've been out of business.
Oh, at least 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Oh, that long.
Yeah.
Did they get squeezed out by the big boxes?
Jim, if you don't have a big box today, you are toast. You've got to have the biggest box. Otherwise, you will be swallowed up. These big boxes, they're just taking over everything.
Yeah, you can't find anything anymore unless you go into one. Almost.
Yeah, it's really where the mom-pa operation has to hope for the best. Because these other places, you can't match their prices overall. It's convenience for the mom-pa places, because if it's in the neighborhood, you don't want to go drive and find a space in those giant parking lots. The neighborhood.
When you walk into those places, you ever feel like that you don't know exactly where the door was?
Oh, my God.
I keep walking to the wrong wall, and then I think, well, it's not over here. Where's the wall?
Yeah, where am I?
Yeah.
Help me. I went to a Home Depot once to buy batteries.
Yeah.
I'm in line with guys that have sinks, plywood.
Oh, yeah.
big items on a cart, and I have batteries.
Yeah.
They do have an express lane, I believe, for people like me that want batteries and light bulbs only, but that's heavy-duty stuff. They have, I think, Home Depot Light, which is only half the size of a football field.
I like to stand in the line there.
And do what?
Well, it's a hardware store. You can, you know, talk guy talk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've got a lot of it since you have never bought an appliance. What kind of guy talk are you coming up with?
Hey, what kind of wrench is that? What do you do with that?
Yeah, how does that work?
Got a little plumbing problem back home, do you?
What would you be buying at these places?
Let's see. I have bought furnace filters. I have bought doorbells. I have picked up...
You change your own doorbell?
I did once.
Yeah? Does it still work?
Probably.
No. Probably.
Nobody comes to visit me, so I don't know.
Do you have neighbors within 3 or 4 miles?
Oh, yeah. I got people all over the place.
Oh, okay. I thought you were kind of way out there.
Nah, there are people nearby.
Yeah, but nobody comes over. Remember in the day, did this happen in South Carolina where people would just drop over and visit?
You know, that's what I remember. You know, when I was growing up, people would just, they were neighbors, they were friends. Everybody would meet together on summer nights, you know, in a backyard and maybe bring a grill and
there was no planning. They just showed up.
Yeah, they just showed up.
Yeah, I remember that all the time as a kid. Doorbell would ring. Oh, it's Uncle Joe and Aunt Louise. And then there'd be 3-4 hours of visiting. Coffee was put on. Highballs were made.
Yeah, that's right.
But
when's
the last time that's happened, when anybody just showed up? You can't.
No.
First of all, probably shoot you because you're not expected.
There's too much transition in neighborhoods. I mean, the guy that lives next door this week, maybe somebody else next week. It's just too many people moving around. That's kind of the problem. And plus, we have a kind of an apartment mindset. Most people that are getting houses these days are moving out of apartments. And when you're in an apartment that's really has a lot of turnover, you never know who's next door. You know, you don't want to go knock on the door and some guy comes and, you know, looks like he hasn't bathed in a week and kind of wearing an old bathrobe. And,
he's
like, what the hell do you want? You know, kind of guy. And so you just don't want to bother with that. So you bring that mindset into a nice little neighborhood full of houses and you kind of mind your own business. You know, you don't, press. You don't know what's...
I was about half a block from the Tribune Tower today. And
you were.
A girl came up to me. She had this T-shirt on advertising some financial institution. I don't know if I recognized it at all, but she stops me and she goes, you want to be in a TV commercial?
Really?
And I said, well, what are you talking about? Well, if you're chosen, first we'll take you for a cab ride, and then somebody's going to ask you some questions about your financial goals, and then if you make that cut, you'll be in the TV commercial. And the first thing I said was, how much does it pay? that really, let's just get to that. Well, you won't get paid initially until you make the next cut.
Mm-hmm.
But when she started to talk about,
you
get a free cab ride out of it. That's guaranteed.
Yeah.
But then she said the first step is you get in a cab and somebody's going to interview you about your financial goals. And I said, I think I'll skip that. But now my mind is thinking, after I left her, what if the whole thing was you get in the cab and they have one of those deals where they suck your credit card information out of your pocket, even though I didn't have my credit card on me?
Yeah.
That's sad. I'm semi-sure it was legit, but you don't know. I'm going to get in a cab with somebody.
That's right, you know.
Well, who knows where that could have led?
Who says they're going to stop?
Yeah, could be.
But I had all these thoughts after I walked away thinking, I wonder how many people actually do it. And again, it probably is legit, but the whole setup was
kind of creepy. Yeah. Did this look like a credible person?
Of course, they're going to put somebody that doesn't look like she's not credible. She has, like I said, a T-shirt on that had some financial institution on it.
Well, it costs about $5.
That's easy to do, too. And then suddenly, I'm a sex slave in Bolivia before I know it.
Well, you know, there's worse ambitions, I guess.
Well, that's true, Jim. I guess if you got to be something, a sex slave in Bolivia is not the worst thing.
Bolivia's nice.
That's this time of year, I'm sure.
I think it's winter down there, isn't it?
Are they into that cycle like Australia, where it's now winter?
Yeah, they're south of the equator, aren't they?
I thought you would know that. I don't know.
I don't have my globe with me. I'll have to look and find it.
Anyway, I just decided. I do like to get the information because I can then talk about it, and I'm always interested in what's going on our streets. But that's on any given... I must have had my I'm an honest-looking guy face on today, because before that,
yeah,
these two Mexican gentlemen stopped me by one of those pay-first boxes for your parking meter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So can you help? And I knew they needed help because...
Yeah.
Well, I they looked like they needed help. So they said, hey, we have a debit card here, and it's not... And it looks... It didn't take debit cards. It only took a credit card.
Yeah.
So I told him that, and he goes, how much for 2 hours? So I said, it's going to be $13, and you got to put quarters, or they take paper currency, don't they? I've never used.
I don't know.
I only use quarters, but I said, you're going to have to get some quarters or some singles, $13 worth, and then just put it in there because they had a debit card.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent a few minutes with them. They were very grateful. And then about 3 minutes later, the woman approaches me to be a sex slave in Bolivia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one of those days. Some days I'll have three or four people stop me about something because I must look honest on that day. I hope I do every day. But there are certain days that I get more of that than others.
Most people just kind of go across the street and walk on the other sidewalk when I walk.
Well,
up, you know?
Jim, you're putting out a vibe. Let's be honest. Don't talk to me. Said something on the news last night. What was it?
What?
I should have written it down.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was something I wanted to bring up. Darn it. I got to write this stuff down. I wonder, was this you sitting at the desk?
I was sitting at the desk and
you said something that I thought was a little odd. The way it came out, yeah. Oh, no, you said something when you were doing the weather. Do you remember it was a misspeak, but it kind of made me laugh.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a record of that anywhere? I can look at it?
I don't know.
Is it on some kind of archive?
Probably.
Ramsey's archive?
Was this the 9 o'clock news?
Yeah. Yeah, you started up and you said something and then it was not the right word, but it was kind of funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
I was tired, you know? Yeah.
It's been a long day.
Sure, by that time. Heck, here it is, 3:15. You have 6 hours to go.
Yeah.
Now you do the 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
But you got 6 more hours from here to get to that 9:15, swing around in the chair. Do they let you talk at 9:15?
I think that what I did last night was like a quick weather update.
At 9:15?
About 9:15,
they're starting to let you guys talk. Before, it was just a swing around in your chair and wave.
I like that.
You don't want to talk?
Well, usually I've got an awful lot of things to do, you know, at that moment. We're going to, you know, you do your whole weather cast at 9:30. And so I've got a lot of stuff that has to be finalized. You know, I'm going through a lot of data still.
Well, it was funny because I had this conversation with Tom last week, and I said, why bother to show you're there. We know you're there. You just swing around. Why don't you talk? And that night, they had him start talking, and I guess you're talking too.
Yeah.
And I also got, I sent that email to you. I got that email about the midday news not on GN America anymore. Is that
permanent? That's, kind of news to me.
It's gone. I don't know. It's not on anymore.
They pulled it off.
Seems like somebody did say that this, maybe it wasn't going to be on this week, maybe, or... For like, some predetermined period of time.
What is like Matt Johnny said, it was in the heat of the night.
In the heat of the night.
With Carol O'Connor.
Okay, so we don't know if it's permanent, though.
No, I have no idea.
Because this guy watches you.
I don't even know who to ask.
That's true.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, it's red tape. Oh.
Yeah.
You don't even have to buy any for Christmas. There's so much red tape here.
Well, I don't think it's that complicated. It's just that, you know, we've got a big weather center here. We've got a lot of people that work in here. And when I come in, I've got a set procedure that I follow, and a lot of things going on when I come in. I've got to do a forecast analysis and get ready for the midday news, which was bumped today because of that plane business.
Yeah, you know? I understand that. And, Jim, let me interrupt because I want to capture this because I can use it as something. I'm right now trending number 3 worldwide on TuneIn Radio.
You are?
I found out today. Can you capture that and print it? Because I got to show somebody that when they start trying something again. You know how many stations are listed on the TuneIn app?
How many?
100,000.
Really?
100,000 radio stations. And right now, if we can capture that.
You're number 3?
I was number 3 yesterday.
Who was number 1?
It was BBC. They got a bunch of BBC stuff. And then
BBC Fall.
Yeah.
In Kiev today.
Really?
A Malaysian plane was
there. I wonder why you were the hit of the
Why do you have to bring me down now? Can I have a moment?
No, I'm not. I'm not bringing you down.
Give me a moment.
I'm trying to figure out what somebody in El Salvador would want to listen to you for.
Because I talk about Bolivia's sex trade.
That's a good point.
That's why. Because okay. I was almost in a Bolivian sex trade organization today, sir.
I helped two Mexicans in the parking. I helped two Hispanic
okay. gentlemen
I'll
with their parking.
You. I'll
that's
grant
why.
You that Chicago loves you. But outside of Chicago, who knows you?
I'll tell you what, if ever I have any ego problem, I'm just going to talk to you.
Well, this is not a bad thing.
He is Eeyore.
I mean, come on.
He is.
Eeyore.
I'm not Eeyore.
Why do you want to think that you're successful?
Who would like you, Pooh?
Why would you bother?
No, I'm not saying Jeez. That. What I'm saying is
who
that
knows you?
You know, if you've got 100,000 options, you know,
Why would a Gary Meyer be at it?
Yeah, why would that be on? What's going on?
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim.
No, you're great.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's just odd that so many people
are... just keep digging the hole deep.
He does. Yesterday was another beatdown.
That's it.
Yeah, yesterday.
Look.
Oh, jeez. Don't get...
I don't like the sentence structure on this.
And I had to do some programming things on the air. Oh, this is great radio.
Yeah, good radio.
Don't you do any planning before?
What you're telling me is that people all over the world are on a regular basis, apparently, tuning in to listen to your broadcast. I think that's terrific.
I don't see anything wrong with that at all. If we're talking 100,000 radio stations on the stream.
Yeah.
On TuneIn,
right.
Number three is pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty good. I don't know why it's happening. I'm glad it's happening.
It's not number one.
It's not like it's number one.
That's
tell me the third grossing movie last weekend.
You missed the point. I think that if somebody is going to be channel surfing radio stations, that... You know,
go ahead. I'm already deflated. There's nothing you can do.
That they want to find stations that share the same language. You know,
I think if this is
the script to end the week tomorrow, it's going to be all you crapping on me. Screw Chicago. I'm going to have you just crap on me for 50 seconds.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that. I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, Jim, you've already done it.
That's been obvious for about 5 minutes.
This is Thursday. At least twice this week, I've been a quivering mass when I got off of this program.
Did the radio station hire you, pay you to do the further beatdown that they have not finished on me yet? Hey, Jim, if you could kind of really stomp on them, that'd be good, too. Okay, here's number one, and tune in. In the world. CBS Radio News, because of this plane crash.
Right.
CNN, number two.
Right.
WGN.FM, The Gary Meyer Show, number three.
Wow.
That is amazing.
On the planet today. Right now.
Right now.
I got a bunch of texts from people, because yesterday I was in this. I was number three, and it was gone within a few minutes, but still.
Well, I think after the last 5 minutes, they should try it again after that last five
minutes. Well, geez.
Probably toppled to 70.
I bet if Skilling were doing this instead of me, you'd be number one.
No, okay. Well, we'll see next week.
Yeah.
But even if it's for 30 seconds, I'm excited about that.
Wow.
It's 100,000 radio stations.
And there's no indication how many people that might represent, how many sets.
Think about it. You know how big the planet is? Have you seen a picture of it?
Yeah, but if it's only 15 people have figured out they can get radio stations on there.
Here we go.
play the music.
Yeah.
He thought he was a big shot, but he's blowing smoke up his own keister.
Wait, no, he's Gary Meyer. I'm not saying that.
And I approve this message.
Jeez, Jimmy.
Well, he's not used to working.
Oh, we're losing him. There he goes.
He's not used to working.
There's his karma. He's choking on his own coffee.
Yeah.
He's not used to working.
It's going down my tie now.
Four days in a row. He never works 4 days in a row. He's beat.
Yeah, well, look. Look, I'm proud of you. I think that you should be number one.
I'd hate to hear you if you hated me.
Wait. I think that it's good that you're number three because you've got some room to grow there.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
Now, this
is a backhanded compliment.
Wait. There's like 7 billion people on the planet. Okay. You got maybe probably with 100,000 signals. The guy at the bottom end has got at least, what, half a million viewers or listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they get up to Gary Meyer, you're probably doing 2-3 billion people.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 You are number 6 at this very moment.
See, we fell.
I fell now because Jim.
We were 3.
I was 3.
Yeah,
I got it printed out as 3 because Jim just.
Well, you
did
were three
a whole
yesterday.
Number.
Yeah. You disappeared, and now you're back.
I am. I was 3
we were
2 minutes
three
ago
again.
Until Jim started and say it's no good.
No, I didn't say it was no good.
Screen grab. So now we have proof.
He was like, "Well, why would they listen to you?"
No, I just, you know, so you lost Serbia and Azerbaijani. You know, it's okay.
Out of 7 million,
there are seven. What are the numbers?
It was
4 million podcasts.
Yeah.
Out there, right?
No, it was 100,000 stations,
right.
And something like 4 million podcasts.
Yeah,
and Jim's not impressed.
No,
I am impressed.
Maybe if it was the universe that you were measured in, but just the planet Earth.
Hey, Jim's not on WGN America anymore either. So there you go.
Yeah. All right. So you lost that.
That's it. Yeah.
I hope you're happy.
Tit for tat.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. You know. No, I'm not. I'm not to slight you at all. I think that's amazing. I mean, I don't think it's that amazing. I think it's to be expected. Superior
that's
broadcast.
Here, listen to Mr. Bojangles tap dancing.
Jim, did you send this text? Only 7 people have that app. That's why.
Oh, that's what?
Yeah. Did you just send that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, okay.
No, it wasn't me.
Well,
I've never sent a text in my life. I don't know how to do that yet. But that's beside the point. But no, I think that's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think that's an amazing accomplishment for somebody who's only been on the air as long as you have on the internet.
Well,
boy,
I'm exhausted already.
You,
you are amazing, Jimmy. Now,
I figured you were going to cut me off by now.
Jim, cut you off? No. I love this.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do. You can text me or call me at 312-521-8600. This text came in. Jim Ramsey's working on an app called TuneOut.
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 I don't... No, I'm just stunned.
I know you are. I know you are.
I'm amazed and I'm stunned. Well, I mean, you've really accomplished something.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Yes, you actually have.
Now we have a script here. Jim loves to talk about the highlights of this city, and every day he does another one. I have one from the archives, if you'd like to hear some of your previous work.
Not particularly.
But I'm going to play it anyway.
Oh.
Do we have something? Yeah, listen to this one first.
Let me tell you a little story about a young boy who had a dream. A dream to become an architect. But that dream was not nurtured. Because other forces would take this fellow in another direction. As it turns out, this boy's father was the general manager of a radio station and gave his son a job. His smooth, deep, wonderful voice was tailor-made for broadcasting. And so it started. Another turn lie ahead. This young man was going to be a weather forecaster, a weatherman who would set down roots in the third largest city in America. His arrival some 30 years ago in Chicago would coincide with the start of another man of weather, Tom Skilling. Tom would become the full-time weather prognosticator, and this young man, with the rich baritone voice, would become his backup. It was quite a rise from spinning records in South Carolina, but it turned out to be his destiny. Together, this man and Tom Skilling became the Lennon and McCartney of weather, the Jagger and Richards, the Rogers and Hammerstein, the Rogers and Hart, the John and Taupin, the Martin and Lewis, if you will. Yes, they are the Batman and Robin of cold fronts, the Lone Ranger and Tonto of tornadoes, the Laurel and Hardy of hot boobs. And it all became magic in the city that this young man from South Carolina drifted to 3 decades ago, the city of Chicago. I am Jim Ramsey, and I became an architect of weather in the former hog butcher of the world.
Okay, that's in the archives.
You never played that for Tom, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, what did you
say
about
I'm starting
that?
To play all of your pieces that he hasn't heard when he comes back.
Oh,
I'll do
no.
some more. And, yeah, he loves them.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, does he now?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, he says you two are as thick as thieves over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're very tight, you two.
Yeah.
And that's why you're the Lennon McCartney of weather.
We laugh a lot. We'll talk weather once in a while, but we generally just laugh.
I'd love to hear a 10-minute conversation between the two of you guys and what you talk about. It's got to be pretty bawdy.
Well, some of it maybe from time to time drifts a little afoul of good taste, I'll bet. Generally, it's just
you see what Julie Unruh is wearing today?
Yeah, huh? Look at that, would you?
Oh.
Yeah, my wife doesn't let me do that anymore.
And
I have to talk nice about all females and
that's good.
And very, respectful. And
it says on this text, why did it matter that the two gentlemen were Mexican that you talked to about the parking meter? Well, because I felt some people are suspicious of people that aren't in the same kind.
Species, race.
Whatever. Some people are suspicious that way. I just felt, and they didn't speak very good English, so they felt comfortable talking to me. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. Some people would just walk by. That's the way it is out there now. It's sad. Everything's goofed up.
What kind of listenership you got in Mexico?
Jim, are you ready for the next script?
Oh.
Yeah. And I'll turn you loose on some other people over there. Get your venom all ready for the 5 o'clock.
I've got no venom.
Hey, Lourdes, you call that a necklace?
Nice dress, Micah.
My God, it's a Chicago necklace, which is a chain.
Yeah.
All right, you've got the script?
I got it in front of me.
Let's roll the music. Jim Ramsey, July 17th, 2014, take one.
It's called The Golden Hour by filmmakers. The 60 minutes in late afternoon when the sun's angle is such that everything it illuminates is bathed in a brilliant gold. My suggestion, when in downtown Chicago, is to go to the Michigan Avenue Bridge during the golden hour. I lost my place.
Okay. You want to take it from the top?
Wait a minute. I have to move my glasses back down to my nose again. Yeah, let's pick it up from the top.
All right, let's take two, full script, July 17th, 2014. 3, 2, 1.
It's called The Golden Hour by filmmakers. The 60 minutes in late afternoon when the sun's angle is such that everything it illuminates is bathed in a brilliant gold. My suggestion, when in downtown Chicago, is to go to the Michigan Avenue Bridge during the golden hour and look west along the river. All the buildings linking
All right, we're going to pick it up there with all the buildings.
Lining.
That's lining.
Okay.
And this is a pickup with Jim Ramsey, take two.
All the buildings lining Wacker Drive will be lit up like a Thomas Kinkade painting. Snap pictures and Instagram them to people you know who live in crap cities. Sit back and watch the envy. When this orgasm of photography is over, head to Urban Outfitters, a store that's contents can best be described as industrial foreclosure. Stock up on items like a foosball drink stirrer set, dish towels with elephants on them, a teeth wall-mounted bottle opener, or a ninja bottle opener. When you walk out of Urban Outfitters, make a left and half a block down, grab a cupcake at Sprinkles, where you will drop $3.50 on one of those delicious bad boys. And I believe Delicious Bad Boys is a bar on North Halsted. Whatever you're into, Chicago probably has it. And if we don't, we know a guy who can get it for you. After shopping, eating, and strolling, maybe public transportation is something you'd like to try. Just stay off the orange line until they capture those armed robbers.
There it is. You nailed it.
I did.
We'll fix it and have it all ready to go.
Okay.
All right. Here is Ted at 312-521-8600. Hello, Ted.
Hi,
hey,
Ted.
Hey, Gary. How you doing,
good,
buddy?
What up?
Well, hey, first of all, I was wondering how Israel could send ground forces when all of their men are here talking sports radio in Chicago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm. That's why we have all of this tension around the world.
Mm.
That kind of thing just stirs it up. Why can't we all get along? It's a short dance.
Yeah.
They're lobbing missiles all over the place. They shoot down this plane. What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
A grip.
Yeah.
All right, and now I want you to do the weather out of that.
Oh.
All right, here we go. And
okay, well, let's cheery it up here.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here's Jim with the weather.
A few early clouds tonight, then the skies are expected to clear after midnight. Low temperature, 58 degrees. Listen to that. My cadence is all fouled up. Should I do this like you're introducing me so that you can rerun it?
Yeah, because I'm going to replay it at 6.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hey, Jim, what's the weather?
Well, tonight we'll have a few early clouds, and then after midnight tonight, the skies will clear. Low temperature will drop to about 58. Then on Friday, a few passing clouds. High temperature, 82. On Saturday, partly cloudy, high of 84. Sunday, mostly cloudy, up to 87. And then on Monday, partly cloudy and more humid, high of 92. Tuesday, the clouds will increase late in advance of some rainfall on Wednesday, high of 93 on Tuesday. From the WGN Weather Center, this is Jim Ramsey.
All right, Jim, I'll give you 24 hours to refill your venom, and we'll get together back here tomorrow at 3.
Wait a minute, don't get the wrong impression.
How would I get that? Yeah,
yeah,
I guess
well,
you're okay.
Why would they want to listen to you?
I don't know.
I didn't say
why
that.
You'd be appealing to people in Mexico.
I mean, you know, who? I mean, maybe you've just got one of those endearing voices that people like to listen to
maybe.
Around the world.
Everything's got a, I don't know, maybe,
yeah.
Why, who?
I bet you're a hit in Iceland. For some reason, I just think so.
Save some for tomorrow. Don't use all of it today. You got one more day to beat me up.
No, I'll be on Monday and Tuesday, too.
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm exhausted now.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
That's the Rambo, Ram
wow.
Jam.
He's had, every day, he's been in a different kind of mood.
He started off good, right? Was Monday good?
Monday was good, then Tuesday was
neutral.
Neutral, and then Wednesday was tough.
Yesterday he started to dial up the anger, and now he's just dumping all over the place. There are a few texts that come in, and they're, I guess, angry would be the right word, or they're always kind of looking for trouble, which I think is funny because I don't care. This one, does everything need to look like a Kincaid painting? Have you heard of an artist named Monet? How about Renoir? That's getting the joke right there. Now, we're going to give away today, tomorrow, and Monday 5 pairs of passes to come to the broadcast a week from today on the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower. That's a week from today, and we're going to do that by asking a trivia question, and you will send the answer to Craig's, that's my engineer's, email address, and then the first 5 that are correct will get passes, a pair of passes for that broadcast. Simple enough. His, and if you're ready to write this down, C. Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, at WGNradio.com. C. Collins at WGNradio.com. That's his email address. The question, I'll give you an easy one today. What number was I yesterday when I talked about this TuneIn Radio ranking? What number was I yesterday?
And we just gave that answer.
So, there. I'll start you off with that. And you can send that answer to C. Collins at WGNradio.com. And the first 5 that are correct will get the pair of invites for the broadcast next Thursday. There can't be any booze up there, as you can imagine. You're on the 22nd floor, and it's not that hard to climb over.
No, it really isn't.
No, it
is
not.
Surprising that
they haven't put a cage over that.
Yeah, it's very easy.
So you're on your honor system there.
Yeah, you could.
But really, there will be, hopefully, some food and drink of a soft variety.
Soft food, too?
Soft food, soft pretzels. It's a whole theme. And we'll just hang out. You can watch the sausage being made.
And that's going to be live.
Yeah, live, as opposed to
recorded and then played later type of thing.
I always think when people go, we're doing a live remote, how else would you do a remote? You could record it. I understand that, but often they just live broadcast.
Right.
As there another, no matter if you record it, at some point you're live.
Well, it's just that on the internet, on the stream, a lot of the programming is recorded.
All right. Well, this is live every day unless indicated that it's not, and that will be live, unless they decide that they only want 3 hours and then they replay an hour. I don't know, but right now I think it's 3 to 7.
Well, hopefully the weather's nice.
That's out of my control.
Oh, I know, I'm just saying.
They should have when you get a hot fudge sundae, they have that plastic top, so...
Little dome.
Right. You can put a straw through it, through the top, or a spoon.
Yeah.
They should have a custom-fitted dome for the 22nd floor for just that purpose, because they have all kinds of functions up there.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, and in case of bad weather, it'll be cool to be under the dome and have the rain and stuff coming
There's
down.
There's a grill up there.
There's a grill up there, because it's such a nice view of the city. All right, I have to ask this man coming in the studio what's going on, because they have just unwrapped the camera in the studio that have been wrapped for months.
Johnny B. will not be happy to see the wrappers gone.
First of all, this is Bill, the engineer. Have you cleared this with Johnny?
Cause what are you doing?
If you just do
this
stuff...
This is like suicide.
...that he has not cleared, you're on the line for
goodness.
A dismissal.
What a brave man.
All three... How many cameras? Three of them?
Three
of them? What's going on, Billy?
You're getting taped for something, I guess.
Yeah, deposition, probably. Yeah. Here's what's going to happen. Now, tomorrow, Dilbert will come in. We taped the show yesterday, and this is why we're letting you go.
This is the first time we heard it in a month and a half.
I think Mr. Ramsey hit it on the head when he said it just isn't working. So now the cameras have been unwrapped.
Yeah, because that one was moving, actually, the front one.
That, again, has not been cleared with Mr. Brandmeier, because he wraps them. He doesn't want the cameras going when he's in the studio.
Although you did notice that he didn't take the paper that he wraps it away and throw it out. So they're going to put
those
back.
Them.
They're going to rewrap the cameras.
Right. They better. This text, you should call the thing the Gary Meyer No Data Listening Party. I'm hoping, and I don't know, is Craig still here? Because I wanted him, because Dave Novotny said he's going to make some things for me to give away, and I'm wondering if I could have them by next Thursday. And some of the things, he did this crucifix for me in metal. And if you're a Christian, whatever you do as far as going to church, it's still a cool piece. Even people that I think are atheists come by and go, wow,
nice.
That is a beautiful piece.
Jesus never looked better.
He's been hanging in my office for about a year now since Dave gave that to me. And
he's been hanging for 2,000 years, Gary.
Well. Okay. Cameras are rolling. Did we get that on there? Good.
Hey, Leslie, you might want to primp up a little.
The cameras are rolling. They're active.
Apparently they took the Brandmeier cameras off.
I need to go put on makeup now.
So Dave said he was going to make me a smaller version of that crucifix to give away. And I had Craig call him, or at least try to get a call in today to see if I could get those for next Thursday. So he's usually pretty good about giving me a few things when I have a broadcast like that to
give
away.
What if there are some Jewish listeners, though?
Well, then they don't have to try to win that. It's going to be some kind of drawing or whatever on the roof.
What about a chai? You know, that little... You ever see the Jewish symbol that a lot of people wear on a chain on their neck? It's called a chai.
Chai?
Yeah, so maybe
what symbol is that?
It's a Jewish symbol. I'm not sure what it means.
First of all, I think there are 3,000 organized religions. If I'm going to make a symbol, because you want to cover every religious group, I'm going to have Dave working night and day. And I just want to give away that, and maybe he can give me a couple Indian heads. That would be good.
A metal menorah.
All right, that's enough. Let's just leave it at that. He mentioned that because he had given me one, and I liked it, and he said I can make a smaller version. So when you see it, again.
Oh, no, it's very nice.
It's not like I go to church every week, but I do like that
piece. You're a
creaster.
Good minute.
I'm a what?
A creaster.
Christmas and Easter?
You got it. A Merriam Barium one.
What's that?
A what?
A Merriam Barium.
Weddings and funerals.
There you go.
Merriam Barium.
Can I ask you what you worship?
I'm a Catholic.
All right, and are you attending every week?
Yeah.
You are?
Oh, yeah, she always talks about going to church.
What? 7:30?
In the hallway, or?
Where have you heard this? Oh, she said it on the air.
She talks about it on the air.
We were at church and blah, blah, blah.
7:30, Holy Trinity.
When I was down in the basement, because it was so hot on Saturday, when we were going through our bins, and one of these bins of my mom's stuff that I have, I don't know what this thing was. It was a box with the doors opened outward. It had two crosses on it. And then inside, it looked like it had a crucifix. with candles, and it had a thing for holy water.
Oh, yeah.
What is that? Is that like a for the last rites or something?
Exactly. That's exactly what it's for.
Yeah.
For whom?
For your home.
For your home use.
In case somebody is dying at home, the priest shows up. If he
and
doesn't
you've already
have
got
it
the
with,
home kit.
I've got the home kit, yeah.
We had one at home, and it was inside the crucifix. So you'd open it up, and the oil and the candles were always
this
in
had
there.
A holder for the holy water. There was a little on the crucifix. It was like a, almost like a like a like a candlestick with the crucifix in the middle and a little spot for the holy water
and,
underneath.
And what did you do with that?
Well, I kept it. I don't know if it's worth anything. Or
it's in one of those thousands of bins.
But you should have seen how old. I mean, this thing
no,
has
wait,
to
you
be.
You only kept it because it might have some worth?
Well, what am I going to do with it? You should have seen. You should see how old they're on the can. This has to be 80 years old. Because on the candles, there were like, you know how they have pictures on the candles?
Yes.
The pictures were crumbling. And they were of popes. And it looked ancient.
Well, sorry you didn't pull that out when she was up in her room.
Well, I didn't know we had it. It was at the other house.
Because you knew it was the end.
Yeah. We knew. Yeah, but she was.
Yeah. Jimmy, go down and get my kit.
It's time
down
for
in the
kit.
Basement. Yeah.
But did every home at that time have?
I've never heard of that thing.
I neither did I. But it was clear that it had to be.
Why
that.
Would you want a home version? It just seems creepy.
Well, because most of the time people died at home.
Yeah, they didn't go to hospitals, and but could I do that, or the priest has to do that?
I think in a pinch you could.
Oh, okay.
Well, she did die at home,
and
you didn't know that kit was there until recently.
No, I didn't know the kit was there, and I didn't have any holy water in there either. There's a little the holy water thing looked like you know they have those little bottles with olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept it because that might be kind of cool in the kitchen.
Oh gosh.
What? Wow. It's. No, I wouldn't put olive oil in it. I would put holy water in it.
Oh.
But I would just have it there because it looks kind of neat.
When's the last time you went to church?
Because I wanted to or because I had to?
All right, let's break it down.
Like a barium scarium thing.
Because you wanted to.
Barium.
What's that? Oh, geez. Eighth grade, maybe?
Eighth grade. And you're 50?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't my fault. It was the priest's fault.
Oh, it's the priest's fault.
It was the priest's fault. I was in eighth grade. I went to Catholic high school. I went to Catholic grammar school. And when I was in eighth grade, I asked the priest, because I was an altar boy, and I asked the priest, because I used to go to, I was at mass all the time. I was at church constantly, because I was
always. Yeah, we all were in that era.
Yeah, and so I asked the priest one day in religious class, how come the mass has to be the same all the time? Can it be different? Can't we read a different reading? Seems like every year we do the same
reading.
So
you're popping off to the priest.
Well, I wasn't popping off. I was a young kid kind of struggling, and because I was at Mass so much, I was trying to,
and
he looked at me like I was Satan. Like, how dare you question?
And that was the last time you went.
And I got so turned off by that. Instead of saying, here's a young kid who's kind of struggling. And has questions. And so instead of embracing that and using that as a teaching tool for him as well as the whole class, I'm going to just bat him down and say, how dare you, and just don't worry
about it.
Well,
you've just lost a parishioner.
No,
here's my cassock and my whatever else that top was called.
Exactly, yeah.
What was that
blouse? Did you hold your teachers to the same standard when you'd ask a question they'd tell you to shut up?
Well, no, but this was God. You know, and hey, they were
still a human.
As I said many times, they were recruiting me because I easily would have been a cardinal by now.
He means a bird, because they would have killed him and he would have been reincarnated.
I firmly believe that if I had become a priest, I would have already voted for two popes.
Yeah.
I would have been in the College of Cardinals.
Well, it's a good thing that you're a legend in your own mind, because you really do pump yourself up.
Well, no, because look at most of the priests. They don't really have a very good personality. They're not very personable. And
how would you know you won't go to church?
Well, I remember when I was a little kid. I'm not happy about it.
You're not getting one of the crucifixes, so don't put your meat hooks on one next week.
But I was just very disappointed that a priest, instead of helping me, would have just sort of batted me down.
There's a bad apple in every group, and you just happen to have that one.
Well,
doesn't mean they were all bad.
I know, but he ruined it for everybody.
Eighth grade.
Who knows? Who knows what I could have been?
Some other religion? Why don't you shop?
I was a lectern. I was in seventh grade. I was already reading at masses. I was very active.
Mm-hmm.
And I even went, I was thinking of going to Quigley.
And did you read everything in your Yoda voice? Because you would always have to do it.
Oh, yes. Luke and Matthew.
Praise the Lord, you must.
You must.
The Hare Krishnas are breathing a sigh of relief that he decided not to shop around.
Peace with you, it must be.
And then he went into his Casey Kasem.
Ponderous.
This is ponderous, these guys, these 12 guys.
Boy, we heard this story last year. It's ponderous. We know he dies and he rises.
He would have been a cardinal.
Oh, definitely. I don't know if it would have been in Chicago. It would have been nice. Although, like, right now,
no,
I'm
but
sure.
Now he's just sorting out bins in his basement of Elton John junk.
Well, I look at
could have been a cardinal.
I look at it right now. I probably would have taken George's place. Like, is they're looking for somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the people that some of the people that they're looking at around the country, mm-hmm. and they're all, like, in their 60s. 50s and 60s, so I would have, and I've always been, you know, an overachiever.
The difference between them and you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, he did hit his head many years ago, and he came back as this.
And plus, well, now I'm excited because I'm officiating my godson's wedding in January. So
because of that Universal Life Church card?
Yeah, but so this is cool because I've always, I get to sort of be a priest.
Their theology is so much deeper and better.
Well, no, you just go online.
Will you do it as the Phantom of the Opera, or will you be some other character that you have a costume of?
Well, I have looked up online where I could possibly buy vestments.
Why is this kid doing this to himself?
I'm going to go over to Maryhill Cemetery because I got a funny feeling my mom is rolling over in her grave.
No,
right,
it would be kinda,
now
I mean,
you know why you weren't invited to the pedal bar.
Well, no, I might not do the actual ceremony in the vestments, but I thought it would be funny to, afterward, for pictures, have the vestments.
Right, you come out with the...
With the giant thing, like, the vestments, right? You know, the
vestments
that
and
thing
some kind of hat.
Yeah, like the big magnificant. Yeah.
Yes, you can. Magnificent. He can. (312) 521-8600 the text and the phone number. Talking novelty toasters. Novelty toasters at 4 o'clock.
For 400.
For 500 art. Galen Dively, is that how you say your last name, Galen?
That is correct, yes.
And I saw this ad for a selfie toaster. Now, you are the same people that put out the Jesus toaster.
The one and only.
Was that your first one?
Well, actually, my first one was a marijuana leaf.
Okay. That novelty toaster is exactly what it sounds like. The toaster prints out things on your toast, like a marijuana leaf or an image of Jesus, because people tend to see the image of Jesus on the strangest things. And how did you get this idea? How long have these toasters been out? Now, I'm going to talk about the latest one, which I think is going to be your biggest seller. But first, how did you get started in novelty toasters?
Novelty toasters. 4 years ago, bought a Hello Kitty toaster, which is a novelty toaster. Put Hello Kitty on toast for a Christmas present for a niece. And I sat there wrapping it. And first thing I thought is, I'm going to make one with pot leaf on it.
Sure you are.
And within a week, I had the factory, and then I just started doing it. So we did our pot leaf and peace signs, and before our first container of those came over, we designed and made an order for the Jesus toasters.
Wasn't the Hello Kitty toaster patented? And
the process is the patent is held. The factory has the rights to the patent to make those toasters. So the Hello Kitty toaster, I believe, was made in Japan, and they may. I mean. I'm not, as far as the patent goes, it's available. The factory has it.
Oh, okay. So you just deal with the factory.
Yes. There's other companies out there. There's a company that does all the sports stuff. And, they got the licenses for all the major sports. And it's the same toaster, the exact same toaster. And we get it from the exact same factory. I just, I get mine made.
And you have how many images that you put out?
It's growing now with our new machine that we have, but I have, several dozen that I have that people can choose from.
What's your biggest seller?
Well, up until now, the Jesus toaster, but I think I may have hit on something.
And that something is what I'm going to talk to you about right now. This is the one that caught my eye today. It is a selfie toaster. You have the capability to have the picture taken on the toaster, and then it prints it right on the toast?
Well, basically, yeah, it started out with I got myself some machinery because I wanted to be able to give small businesses the ability to get a couple toasters with their logo on it and stuff like that. And up until then, it was just prohibitively expensive, $1,500 for just for me to come up with a new design. So I figured this out, got the machinery, and now, and while I was, I had it and I was experimenting, I picked up a photograph of my, my son, and I said, well, let me just try this. And it came out great. And that's how the actual selfie end of this came.
So how does the image get onto the toast? You take a picture independent of the toaster?
Well, I take a picture, and then I will I'll do my magic on Photoshop, and I put it in a CAD software. And basically what my machine does, it'll cut out little plates, metal sheet metal plates, with the image on. Very similar silk screening.
So,
And then you, there are rails in the toaster that are, you know, the toasters I get made have these rails, and I put down that plate, and the heat acts as the ink, and it does its magic.
And if the picture I'm looking at is any indication, it's a pretty good replication of whatever picture you put in there.
We're pretty good at it. I haven't come up with one that I've been stumped. There's a couple I've worked on a while, but I haven't been stumped yet.
It's $75?
Yeah, $75 for the photograph, for the face, and $65 for all, you know, logos. After that, that's the first one. If you wanted more of that, I can work a deal on that, because all the time and all the work really is getting it to the point where I have that file that I can cut the plates.
And where do people get these things?
They get them at my website at burntimpressions.com.
And you can look at all of the images that he offers. You've got a Edgar Allan Poe image that you can put on your toast.
We got the Poe toaster, yes.
The Poe toaster. And, of course, Jesus, your biggest seller, but you think this one is going to surpass that.
I think this will surpass that, and I'm really, we've already done quite a few logos. You know, we can do any art, not just pictures, not just faces, but yeah, we can do basically almost anything somebody can think of. We'll make it.
Well, you know what you're going to get. You know what people are going to want pictures of.
Well, that's why we're all over 18.
Attaboy. Where are you based out of, Galen?
We're in Vermont.
Okay. And burntimpressions.com is the website if you want to check it out. Thanks,
yeah.
Galen.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
People have been seeing images. Might as well just make it official. You can probably fool a lot of people with that Jesus one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got Jesus on my toast. Boy, it's remarkably clear.
Is it really a good picture?
All right, I'll show you the one that was on this story that they did. It
looks, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The resolution is pretty good.
Wow.
It's not where you think it's kind of the person that the photo is replicated of.
They've got... That's really cool.
We have the five winners for today for the broadcast that's taking place a week from today on the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower. And I'll have another trivia question tomorrow. And keep this email address handy, because that's how you enter. It's C. Collins at WGNradio.com. That's my producer's email address. C. Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S at WGNradio.com. That's how you would enter. And the first five correct answers are going to get that pair of invites to the broadcast.
Elton toast.
Okay.
Could be possible.
Yeah. Maybe you can dress yourself up as a cardinal and have toast printed out like that.
Well, I did do a play one time where I got to wear the little skull cap, like, you know, that little red thing that they sort of put, like, almost like a yarmulke, but the Pope wears.
You know, mm-hmm. Like a little, yeah, that's skull cap.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Sure, it was.
To wear that.
Yeah, and it kind of covers your hairline if you're having a bad hair day.
Right, you just throw
if
that on.
If the glue is loosened.
If that was socially acceptable, I would wear that all the time. Those were really cool.
Okay.
I like that.
Look. All right, and people say, what's he doing on the show? I keep him off the streets for 4 hours a day.
Like, would that be offensive if I wore that? Like, would a Jewish person be offended?
Well, I don't. How would they be offended? They don't know you're not Jewish.
Well, but I'm not.
I know you're not, but how would they know that?
Yeah, I wonder. Well, I wonder if I wore a red one.
All right.
Because that seems to, like, white and red seem to be like the Catholic ones.
Along that same line, I opened the show with that story about the KKK dropping candy off at homes in South Carolina. to recruit people because they're using this immigration situation as their go juice. And they just go to these houses and put a bag of candy on the door and their pamphlet.
Oh.
So one of the KKK members was asked by a reporter, well, how do you know that you're not putting that candy on a person of color's door? And the guy said, or I'm looking for the exact quote, but it's something like, okay. Well, we can't determine who lives at the house. That would be racist. And that was one of those weird, but you are racist.
That's the whole idea.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't do that. That would be considered racist.
You're founded on racism.
Maybe they're doing that or saying that as some kind of legality where if they're popped for whatever reason, well, we put them on everybody's door. But the pamphlet is all hate, isn't it?
Well, I would think that's pretty much the business they're in.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't want to determine who lives at the house because that's racist.
I mean, that's their stock and trade.
Yeah, I have the story somewhere. I'll try to find it. But that's pretty much it. Caught my eye.
Well,
oh, here it is. I got to read it to you. Burn the cross in your yard.
Is that a list of their services?
Yeah. Residents in a South Carolina neighborhood weren't happy to find bags of candy outside their homes over the weekend, mainly because the KKK left them there. It's candy that includes a piece of paper that said, "Save our land, join the Klan," and included a phone number that led to an automated message about the group's efforts against illegal immigration.
Was it white licorice?
As I said in the opening, I hope there's no dark chocolate in there. That would be wrong. Jones said that specific homes weren't targeted. We can't tell who lives in a house, whether they're black, white, Mexican, gay. We can't tell that. And if you were to look at somebody's house like that, that means you'd be pretty much a racist.
What are they selling?
That's what you are.
Yeah, I mean, what? Have they turned a new leaf that no one knows about?
Oh, God.
Are they embracing diversity now?
It is just crazy out there. As far as this plane that was shot down today, I wonder, and I did hear initially there might be a connect the dots to Flight 370 because it's the same airline.
Same airline. Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine if you worked for that airline?
But I haven't heard any other information in that.
No, they're saying that this is a complete coincidence.
Just a separate deal. It was shot down.
It may have been in the airspace.
Okay, this shooting down commercial airliners because they may have wandered in. That happened about 30 years ago to that
Korean jet.
Was it a Korean jet? Yeah. And that Russian fighter jet shot it down.
Yeah.
That there, we should have just, I don't know what we should have done. We should have done something.
But we
That's
did
insane.
That, no, we did
and that,
that
wandered, that Korean jet wandered by accident.
Right.
It wasn't,
no,
it
totally.
Was only for a few seconds.
Exactly.
This is insane.
But wasn't that during the Cold War?
Yeah,
tensions?
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't, the whole commercial airliner. This is bizarre. This is an atrocity. It's not a tragedy. It's an atrocity. Dial it up about a notch or two there.
Now, do you know about radar? I mean, if on a radar, at this point, is radar sophisticated enough? Is it more, is a plane more than just a blip? Can I tell? I wonder if it's commercial as opposed to military.
No matter. Right. That's like the guy that was shot in the back, and the story came out, well, he was not the intended target.
Right.
Oh, well, if there was another target that should have been killed, then this makes more sense. This doesn't make sense on any level. I don't care what the blip or whatever it was on the radar said.
Well, they said that there's been a lot of activity in that area lately, and so they may have thought that this was
okay,
a military
but that whole thing
plane.
There, too, is nuts. That's another thing.
Oh,
you see all those guys all lined up, ready to go, because one country wants to take over another one, and they're just going to blow up a bunch of stuff, kill a bunch of people. For what?
Why would you want to? I can't believe anybody's going to run for president in 2016. It's the worst job in the world.
Well,
look at what you have to deal with.
I think certain people think that they have a good idea of how they can fix things.
How are you going to fix this?
Forget it. There are too many idiots out there, too many crazies.
And they said that this is not just one of those things like you see in Iraq or in Afghanistan where these guys have those rocket launchers on their shoulders.
Right.
This was a military
missile. This was fired. Okay. This is very sophisticated. Yeah. This was not just some.
As I've said before, in all these incidents, these whatever is going on in these areas where they're overthrowing the government, the president or whatever, the military takes over, and for days they're bombing stuff, breaking stuff up, ruining stuff, or in this case with ISIS, right, they're going from town to town, city to city in Iraq and taking over and breaking things up and killing people. Do these idiots know how to run anything? When it's all said and done, everything's broken, blowing up, they're going to fix everything and everything's going to run hunky-dunky, I'm sure.
We are just in a period of complete chaos and just transition turmoil.
Either in that respect or these gangbangers locally that are gunning down people every week. It's one thing or another, but they're all crazy. Yeah. That's all you can say.
I mean, what's,
for what? What are they doing this for? For what?
What's going on?
I mean, this is. Because they've got a better plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to take over. We're going to make things better for you. Yeah, it sounds like it. But I'm wondering if this Flight 370 now, you got to start thinking, okay, same airline, still haven't found that.
Well, you know, today then, you know, because some of the reports I was watching on television, they were making obviously the connections with this. And now most of the reporters, and I don't know where this came from, unless I missed it, they're all like, well, that's pretty much at this point accepted that was a hijacking and that it was taken, you know, it's like, well, wait a minute. Nobody ever said that.
No, they haven't confirmed anything.
But
they won't
almost,
until they find the plane.
Which they're never going to find. But
you never know. It might be a while, but
Maybe.
But it's a big ocean that they got to search.
But, man, if you worked like in the public relations department for Malaysian Airlines, you got to just quit.
And there were 20-some Americans on board.
That's what they said. Yeah.
Not that if they weren't on board, if there were no Americans on board, that doesn't lessen the severity of this.
280 people and 15 members of the crew.
God. 295. Okay. I just want to make toast with my face on it. That's all I want to do. Really, you just want to...
Just butter yourself up.
Yeah. Just want to crawl in a hole. Watch these idiots every day.
Oh.
And then you got this Palestinian... Israeli thing happening. They're lobbing back and forth. What are they going to accomplish in the long run here? Can't anybody get along? Because it's a short dance. No matter how long you live, even if you live 100 years, that's short.
And this is a 2,000-year-old fight, if not longer.
But I mean, after all said and done, like I said, everything's all broken up, bodies everywhere, and nobody accomplished anything. All they did was try to even the score, which, good, you got that going for you.
As naive as it may sound, give peace a chance is really, it's just a really very fundamental kind of plea at this point.
I know, it's considered hippy-dippy.
I know, but...
But really, when you look at this, what have we learned? We went through Vietnam, World War II, we had to get involved because that thing was out of control, but, okay, Vietnam, and then this Iraq, Afghanistan thing, what's accomplished here?
And you're completely correct. So now... When all these cities are completely decimated, how are you going to start a new government?
These people are carpenters and plumbers and electricians? No, they're idiots.
But you're already in a hole to make the place livable. You got to rebuild everything before you could even put your government in.
Whenever I look at these guys in their Jeeps with the guns on them and they're riding into town, and I think, I'm sure you're going to fix something. I'm sure you can tuck point, you moron.
Well, you know, it's like they have no end game. They don't have
power and take over and worry about it all after, I guess.
In the moment. They don't think about, like, the 5 years after.
No.
What do we do?
5 years?
2 months,
They pull into town and then, woohoo, we got it.
Oh,
now what?
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the places I would like to visit is the Holy Land. You know, they have tours where they take you to, you can't go there. I mean,
that's the ironic part. Here is supposedly where it all started.
And it's the most.
And we're worshiping where that started and all that. And it's the craziest part of the world.
It's the most dangerous. It was formed on peace and love. And it's the most dangerous.
And supposedly where all of this was created.
Yeah. All this religion, all the way to live and everything. And it's the most dangerous place to go. I just pray because I'd love to see the pyramids one day. And now that craziness, who
yeah,
knows
that's
if
crazy
these,
too.
They might, but you know, but the what, thing
what,
is,
what drives these people? What do they want? What I mean, I know it's always about land or something, but when it really gets down to it, there's got to be something that would just calm them right down, and they'd be happy.
As silly as sometimes you say, if you gave them a
flat
big screen TV,
an in-ground pool, and a new car, and some frozen Snickers
and
ice
nice
cream
pair
bars,
of jeans maybe. It's like I wonder if they really, if it is some of the comforts of life, as basic as that.
There's
sounds.
Something missing because they all are always crazy. It's always these guys too. You see them running down the street. They pick up the tear gas that was just shot by the military or the police, and they throw it back, and that's their day. They wake up. I don't know if they shower.
Get
they
up,
put on.
Wash your face.
It's always probably some shirt that they got from one of our charity groups here because it always looks like something was here.
Yeah, it's a Cubs World Series T-shirt that they never get to
exactly.
Use.
No, it's 2003 yeah. World Series T-shirt that we threw into a charity box.
Right.
So now they're running around. They got the handkerchief around their face to block the tear gas. So they do that in the morning, have a light lunch, and then what do you do the rest of the day? They're all standing around throwing things.
Well, we
that's
should.
Their day.
Well, the Cubs do need pitching, and these guys can throw a rock.
Maybe they should, right, take that energy, channel it, get into a ball team.
Well, it's kind of like that movie that they had with that guy from Mad Men recently. Remember where they went
John
to
Hamm.
India?
Yeah, to recruit
some,
ball players.
Yeah, some Indian guys who they said we never played baseball. But you see these kids, they're throwing rocks pretty far.
They yeah, and it's and the tear gas is hot.
Yeah.
So,
and you know they're
throwing,
brave.
And they really do, they could put on their resume, I throw heat. And they might get a pinky boo from a scout. Right? Is there any talk, Leslie, about connecting this airliner today to Flight 370? Is
no.
that
No, they're saying it's
no,
a
completely
absolute
separate,
coincidence. Yep.
Just a weird coincidence.
But the vice president is now confirming what many people have suspected, and that it was a missile that took it out.
And we don't know who shot it?
No one is claiming responsibility, no.
Because it's a big oops, and no one
wants
to...
Well, and they're saying that it may very well just be
right.
that, an absolute big oops.
Yeah. Because like I said, if you look at the... on radar, I don't know if they can tell. They see a blip. They see a plane, and they got a
it's
hot...
It's a blip. It's a plane.
They got a
so they just fire a missile at
they
it.
Got a hot trigger finger, and they're expecting it to be a military plane or some kind of military thing as opposed to... And boom. And who wants to be blamed for that? You don't want to be blamed. Because most of these times, they usually will take blame if they meant to do it. They accept the responsibility and say, hey, we did it. It's the fact that it's been, what, 5 hours already? And nobody wants to take credit for it?
Yeah, well, as soon as they do, we got to come down on that.
Yeah, right. Then, yeah, then here we
now,
go
but
again.
But we'll come down, what do we do now? We just light it up? What are we going to do?
I know. What
are we going to do, really?
I know. What do we do?
Because if it's this Russian Crimean thing, what are we going to get in the middle of that now?
Ugh. Unbelievable.
I just want to see Million Dollar Quartet. That's
still.
All I want. I just want to do that.
Movie or the play?
Can't you just get him here? Make it easier than you having to go there? Can't you just bring in Jerry Lee Lewis?
Michelle.
Hi, Gary.
Hey.
We're from Puerto Rico this time.
All right. You're cutting out there. I think you said you're in Puerto Rico.
Correct.
And,
2 weeks ago was Germany.
And your husband travels, and you travel with him, right?
That is correct.
And this is business in Puerto Rico or pleasure?
He's on business. Well, actually, as of 4 o'clock our time, he is on vacation. So we are cruising on Saturday. So technically, he was working.
All right. And cruising on Saturday, that is code for what?
No, that's really cruising. We're going on a cruise.
Where are you going?
St. Martin, Grand Turk, Back to Puerto Rico, actually. And one more. St. Thomas, Grand Turk. I can't think of the last fort.
That's a cruise.
Oh, St. Martin, yeah.
St. Martin.
Grand Turk. San Juan. And I have no idea.
All right. Did a cruise.
But,
did a cruise.
A thing for your T-shirt.
What's that?
A thing, a new thing for your T-shirt. You might want to have to add it.
Yeah.
I was in at the beach today, and some people start freaking out. There's fish in the water. There's fish in the water. So maybe they need a T-shirt that says, when there's water, there's fish in the water.
Why would they freak out because there's fish in the water?
I have no idea. I mean, we are in, the Atlantic? We're at the top, the northern part of Puerto Rico.
And they were standing there going, there are fish in the water.
I believe they were using some foul language, too. But we'll skip. Oh, we are streaming. I could say it, but I won't.
But I don't understand why they were surprised by that.
I don't know. That's why we needed to add it to your sayings. Hot coffee is hot.
There are fish in the water.
There are fish in water.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
well, where are you after the cruise then? You come back home?
We're cruising 8 days for my 50th birthday. And then we are staying in Florida for 5 additional days.
Okay. And you live where here in Chicago?
Carroll Stream.
And Carroll Stream. And Germany was good?
Germany, I'm just very excited that we got to go to, we were able to go to Beer Gardens and watch the U.S. versus Germany, and then Germany versus France. And then they ended up, you know, winning the World Cup. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, to be there when they won the World Cup, that must have been crazy, right?
So we were not there. We were here, but we did see two games when we were out there. So well, I feel part of it.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of Germany after they won, and the whole country was obviously nutty, as they should be.
Yeah. Our friends were very excited, so they even stayed up late.
Yeah. All right, Michelle, I hope your trip goes well.
All right, and you're on. I'm trying to listen every now and then. You're on vacation not next week, but following week?
Yes.
All right. Well, have fun, Gary.
No, thank you, Michelle.
All right. We'll talk to you. Bye.
There are fish in the water. What are those fish doing in the water?
That is a weird feeling, though, when you're in the ocean and a fish sort of glances you and hits, you know, your foot or your leg. It does feel very weird.
Don't go in the ocean.
I don't like going at all. I walk on the beach and let it, you know, go up on my feet and stuff, but I don't like swimming in there.
I am responding to an email, I should say text, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter. You wouldn't know. I mean, why do I have to correct that? That's that thing where I go when they, I find
it's 55.
I don't think it's large enough to make a difference. Just go with it. And I just did that. I apologize. And somebody was listening to the podcast of 7:15. When you were doing your impression of Johnny from Michigan.
Yeah.
And this person says that because we were laughing, we are social elitists.
Social elitists.
So I have asked Creef to get Johnny's number. Craig has it. Craig, this is a tag team producer thing now. Craig starts the day with me and then Keith finishes the day. And Keith does not have Johnny's number, but Craig does. I've asked Keith to get it. I'll be happy to get Johnny on to make sure if he heard anything that he is not offended by that, because I really like Johnny. And I want to invite him to the broadcast on the 22nd floor next Thursday.
And it wasn't meant at all to make fun of him. At all.
But I just want to make sure that he knows that if he heard anything.
I know, but to anybody listening. And saying that it was mean or that they're offended by it. It wasn't meant to be mean. We all enjoy when Johnny comes on. He tells these stories. He tells them in a very funny and
engaging
original way. He does talk about certain things and repeat things, and that's why he's funny to listen to and enjoyable to listen to. And all I was doing was recreating
that. That's right. You were paying homage, as you say.
And I was. And I'm not. And that's not just a BS thing. I mean, we did the thing with Ron Santoff. Ron Sano. And we did it right in front of him. I did the Ron Santo in front of him, and he laughed at it and said, geez, if you called my house, I didn't even know if my wife would know
you,
the difference.
You know more about Ron Santo than Ron Santo.
Yeah. And as you've always said, the Johnny thing was funny, not even just because of the voice. It was funny because it was regurgitating the story he had told the day before when he went on his trip to Washington. And it was funny how he sat in the wrong seat. They got yelled at. He got up at sunset.
It's an homage.
Yeah. So lighten up. Jeez.
Well, you can't anymore. These days, there's no room for lightning.
Well, then how is anybody supposed to be funny? If you can't offend, humor offends people. That's what it is.
That's what humor is.
Well, it is.
That's what we do here every day. Offending people. That's right.
If you don't make fun of something, then
what
do you laugh
at? This is
what you
told that priest when he started to come
right
down with the, why are you questioning what I do? Well, if we don't question,
then how do we learn?
How do we move forward?
Right. And nobody makes fun of themselves more than me. So if I'm being accused of making fun of somebody, I throw myself under the bus 4 hours a day.
And this one, you are no longer trending, Chief.
Ursula!
We're not trending. Not trending.
I want to say hi to Ursula.
All right. So he is welcome to come next Thursday. And if I can figure out the cost, I mean, I know he budgets for his trips to Chicago.
Yeah, because he said he's coming back on Halloween.
Right. Now, a train ride and a hostel, probably not that much.
Well, maybe if he takes one of those magic bus for a buck.
Yeah, he usually grabs a magic bus.
Or whatever those things, mega bus.
Mega bus. You can go from here to Memphis for a dollar.
Yeah, remember that woman?
It seats 500 people. That's how they make their money. And every now and then you'll hear where it doesn't clear an overpass because they have so many seats. But if it does, you can get to Memphis for a dollar.
That woman said she paid $2 for a round trip ticket.
Oh, that's outrageous. There's no need for that. Okay. So, yeah, we'll be fine with Johnny.
Johnny's
and if he
fine.
Is offended, then I'll apologize never do it again.
And I will apologize. It was not meant to make fun of him at all. It was actually just piggybacking on his hilarious segment that we were all enjoying, and it was just kind of, it came out of nowhere, and it was like, hey, remember how funny that was? And I recreated it. That's
and now
all.
It's all this.
Oh.
I shouldn't have said it, and I apologize.
Or I sort of apologize. Or
I should have said, I make fun only of John Williams, and now it's all
right.
This. And Johnny Winter, speaking of Johnny's, died, and Edgar, his brother, had several hits.
Yeah,
that
Frankenstein.
Were pretty big hits for their day in the 70s. I don't remember Johnny Winter having a lot of songs on the Billboard charts. He was more of a blues guitarist.
He was a blues guy. I mean, he was very well regarded in the musical
world.
Well,
let me share this quote. By the way, 5 o'clock, Eric Childress will review the following movies. Sex Tape, The Purge, Anarchy. Boyhood, and Wish I Was Here, that Zach Braff Kickstarter film where he asked for money.
Oh, so that finally is coming out, huh?
In that he got a lot of criticism because they said, well, wait, didn't you make a good amount of money?
Right.
Can't you just pay for it yourself? If people want to give their money to him, so what? A 1968 Rolling Stone article described Johnny Winter as a cross-eyed albino with long, fleecy hair who plays the gutsiest fluid blues you've ever heard. And I think we all concur if you ever heard him play.
Yeah, and he was only 70 years old.
What was the cause of death?
They didn't say. He was in Zurich, apparently. He was on tour.
I saw a clip that was included in this story I read about him where he played on Letterman's show and looked fairly recent, and he was sitting down when he played. So there must have been something going on right there.
But, man, when you look at those album covers from the 70s with Edgar and Johnny, they were
weren't acclimated to
the albino
albinoism.
Yeah,
they really, and then they were, and then not only that, but they were skinny. I mean, they just looked.
Oh, yeah, it was an interesting look.
It was a whole
those
look.
Pink eyes yeah. and that hair and that
yeah.
skin.
And they played it up.
But I do want to play Johnny Winter, and I have selected this, I think, pretty familiar song that was made a hit by Rick Derringer. You know it as Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo on .fm. Johnny Winter, dead at the age of 70. I saw Edgar in concert at the stadium.
And he was the headliner?
Yes.
He played the stadium.
Yeah, it was a big venue. Well, Frankenstein and...
but he was that big? Wow.
Yeah, he was big back
I mean, I know he
70s.
Had a couple of hit songs, but I didn't know he was big enough to fill up the...
Well, I saw him there.
Wow.
Oof.
Woofa.
Woofa. 312-521-8600.
And Elaine Stritch died, too, today.
She was so we have Elaine Stritch, Johnny Winter.
What do those two have in common?
If you're doing a celebrity death trilogy, you've got an assortment there.
And she, of course, most recently played Alec Baldwin's mom on
30 Rock.
Yeah, she was really good in that.
But she was a big
Broadway star
and cabaret did a lot of singing. Cabaret
yeah.
singing in New York
yeah,
up
was,
until
yeah.
maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
And got good reviews.
And... she was quite the sex pot in her day, and I think part of her look was she used to wear the men's shirt with the black nylons and the, you know, high heel type of thing. And she was still wearing that 2 years ago when yep. she was like 88,
yep.
and her legs looked really good.
Yes.
But I guess toward the end she was, you know, had some dementia type of stuff.
Well, I was familiar with her mostly from her 30 Rock.
Yeah.
appearances, so I would read these articles about her recently where she was still performing, then decided to move back to Michigan, as I guess that's where she grew up, to
yeah.
be closer to her family, so she knew
yeah.
that it was probably towards the end.
But she's one of those tough old broads.
Right. She was really funny on 30 Rock.
Oh, she was fantastic. Yeah. And she totally, I mean, there was such a great chemistry and the way they wrote that character where she... it was almost like Jim Ramsey today putting you down.
Right. She always would dump all over
yeah.
Alec Baldwin's character.
And yet you could see that there was a connection and a love, and yet there that was their relationship. They just cut each other down. Because he used to shoot back at her, too.
Yeah, it was brilliant casting.
Yeah, it really was.
How about these kids in Wisconsin? A 9 and a 4-year-old stole a car again. Police are investigating a 9-year-old boy and his 4-year-old relative, whom authorities say stole a car, went for a joyride for the second time in 4 weeks.
It's so much fun the first time.
This is out of Farmington, Wisconsin. A driver saw the 9-year-old behind the wheel, called 911. Quote, "Hi, I just passed a car that looked like about a 10-year-old was driving it. It looked like they were looking through the steering wheel. They were barely tall enough to see it. It looked like two kids were in the vehicle," the call says.
Second time.
"I looked over and was like, what the hell? And they were driving a little sporadically."
I think the parents
were 9-year-old, well, the 9-year-old had apparently stolen his stepfather's car and taken off with his 4-year-old relative in the passenger seat. They drove the car into a ditch. No one was injured.
Thankfully, I think it was in a rural area.
Yeah.
So they were...
well, Farmington.
Yeah.
If you have a town named Farmington, it yeah. has to be rural. Police realized they were the same pair who were stopped last month by a teen driver who saw them driving on a local highway at speeds up to 85 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
In that incident, the boys rode their bikes to a local boat store and then stole the car of a shop employee who had left his keys inside the car. This is one of those towns where they say, we don't lock our doors. Yeah. We leave our keys in the car.
No, it's, such
that's
thing.
Safe.
No such thing.
They were not charged in that incident. And they're now investigating this one.
Some good parenting going on.
The teen driver that stopped them the first time, his name is Caden Duck, which is perfect for Wisconsin. D-U-C-K, Caden Duck.
Caden Duck. The Duck family.
From the Ducks. From the Farmington Ducks.
The Ducks of Farmington.
Yeah. Don't they have that duck ride at the Dells?
Where they think it drives as well as goes in the water?
Yes.
Yeah, the duck boat or whatever they call it.
A four-year-old, I'm trying to think, a four-year-old, that's tiny. That's a tiny kid for the most part.
They're not even 2 feet tall, right?
Probably not.
Maybe three.
Depends on your bone structure.
Right.
A nine-year-old, now they can sprout.
Yeah, but.
But twice. I think I'll do this again in 4 weeks.
Well, they had a great time.
Imagine the four-year-old. I'm not in Kansas anymore. And then there's this other story. This one is from Florida. A 12-year-old stole a school bus, took it on a joyride.
Some really good parenting going on.
What is wrong with these people?
And how are they, once again, who's watching their...
And this guy had stolen a bus a month earlier, too. Another bus. So they get the thrill, and then they want to go back and do it again.
Well, driving is cool when you first start. It's a cool sensation, but you got to wait till you're 16.
I don't know. I didn't have that desire at 12 or 9 or 4.
Yeah,
but 4, you're still doing that one with the plastic steering wheel.
Yeah. You still got the big wheel going. Well, but you don't forget, how old were you when you wanted your go-kart?
I was probably, around 11.
See?
And but a go-kart, that was manageable in my eyes.
No, my point is you got a thing. You got a steering wheel, and you got a gas pedal and a brake.
And I have a story about some guys who stole go-karts from a place. They took them for a joyride.
And none of this is scripted, ladies and gentlemen.
No, how would you script this?
No, I'm just saying. I didn't even know you had a story about that.
All right, nice guess. Keith, can you find that story about the go-karts that were stolen? I think you may have given it to me even. Erin had to leave for the airport. She's the assistant producer.
She's a shadow.
She's shadowing somebody.
Shadow.
And,
she's shadowing the shadow.
And Keith is now down to, they got their way. Keith is producing the show. They work it.
They whittle and whittle and whittle.
All right. And so far, he's doing a fine job.
And the good thing is that from your standpoint, he's actually transformed from this Keith guy to Keith.
Yeah. Oh, he's a person.
Yeah, because for the first week or so, there's this Keith guy in there.
Jim, would you like to do an impression of him? I know you've studied.
I'm working on it.
I know you've studied him for about 3 days.
I've been studying.
And I think it's about time you plowed into him.
It takes a while, a little observation.
Yeah.
But
do you walk around the house now and go, Wimble?
Windmill.
Hey, honey, there's how Gary says windmill.
Although you've got me saying robots.
Robots.
Oh, thank you. All right. Well,
for some reason.
And I mean that as an homage.
Oh, sure you do. Just like I mean it as an homage.
Of course, that's what everybody says. Well, I didn't mean anything by it.
But I can't believe you said that, because today I'm driving. I don't know what made me think of it. I'm in traffic. I was stopped, and I thought of windmill.
Of course you did. Anything that could cut my nads off, you'd be happy to do. 4 go-karts were stolen from Polson Pier, this is in Toronto, before 4 young men took them for a joyride.
Another joyride.
Police said they don't know if the 4 men stole the go-karts or took them for a ride upon finding them. What?
So they didn't necessarily do the lifting, but they definitely did the joyride.
They got the joy.
A lot of joy riding.
Is that the term,
activity
though,
out there?
Because I heard Kate Sullivan do the story yesterday about the 9 and 4-year-old.
What'd she say?
And she said joyride, and it just sounded like how do we know it was a joy? I mean, is any time an underage
kid for them, in a vehicle?
That's automatically
that's
a joy.
That is total joy.
So that's the definition.
You don't remember those first days when you were 16?
Well, I said it was
fun.
And
you finally had the freedom?
Oh, certainly it was fun.
What would you call it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a felony. I mean,
it's a felony ride.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying
that large ride.
Well, to me, if you're going to say it's a joyride, you're actually giving it a kind of fun, harmless connotation, and it's not.
Those particular people, not the ones that carjack, but these people, these kids, that seems to be a joy for them.
It's a joy now, pay later situation.
Yeah. Understood, but in reporting it, you're almost making it sound like it's harmless, and it's not. To me, joyride makes it sound like it's kind of a frivolous, funny thing, and if this is serious with a 9 and a 4-year-old
kid. Well, when you're going 85 miles an hour.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, you're in that same category where they go wrong place, wrong time, which I have been correcting for how many years now? No. Unless they were kidnapped, it's the right place, wrong time. Right. Why is it the wrong place if you're in your home? And they'll do that. Wrong place, wrong time when somebody was shot in their home. Like, no, wrong place, wrong time. You're at home. Why is that a wrong place?
How much righter does it get?
Right place, wrong time. Some Frankenstein from Brother Edgar on WGN.FM. Gary Meyer on the 50 million watts streamliner. The Gare Force, thanks for jumping on. I got this text. A lot of farm kids are driving tractors and lawnmowers by 9 or 10. I was talking about these two kids in Wisconsin that stole a car. This is the second time in a month that they've done this. 9-year-old and a 4-year-old. They stole one kid's stepfather's car. But, yeah, I know a lot of those farm kids probably are driving equipment. But that's on the farm.
Yeah.
Not on the highway.
Not 80 miles an hour on a highway.
That's different. 312-521-8600. Eric Childress should be checking in. Keith, do you know anything about that? Do you have his number? Does he call us? Do you call him? Keith is flying solo today, and this will really test his mettle. Eric is going to review four films, Sex Tape, The Purge, Anarchy, Boyhood, and Wish I Was Here. That Wish I Was Here was financed by Kickstarter. Zach Braff is the guy in charge of that.
Did you ever hang around with anybody that had boats, like when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a thing that I don't understand. Do you need a driver's license to drive a boat?
I don't know if you need a driver's license, but maybe you need some kind of license.
Because I remember being a kid, and I knew a friend that they had a place up in Antioch, and we would go up there, and he was driving the boat. And he was like 10, 12.
Well, there were adults there.
Well, but...
Yeah, well, again, on driving a boat when there's no other boat around, you're just holding the steering wheel, aren't you?
Yeah, but then what if another boat shows up?
Then that kid should step aside and let an adult take over.
But they probably wouldn't because they're in the middle of driving. Or what if they drive too fast and it capsizes or something?
Well, then you should have gotten off.
I never understood.
Instead of screamed the whole time you're on the boat.
I just never understood how it seemed like the boating world, there were no drivers. Like, that's just as dangerous. It's a vehicle.
Well, they have had problems with people drinking and driving boats.
Yeah.
For years.
But there's no cop, is there?
There are, the
Coast Guard.
Well, no, the Chicago police boats are out there. They do patrol.
You'll
see them out there.
Up on the Chain O Lakes where we used to go.
They must have. That would be, Eric, I don't know about you, but if you had to be a cop, I'd, number one, be on that boat patrol or the mounted, the horses.
Yeah.
Those are the coolest.
I think those would be the most fun, wouldn't they?
Yeah. They look the coolest. But you know these Chicago cops on those boats, they see the most stuff. And by... You know what? Stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man.
If you say so, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, take my word for it.
Yeah.
You are busy this week. You've got four movies to review.
Yes, I am.
What do you want to start with?
Any title jumps out at you, Gary?
Zach Braff film, and there was a little attention around it because he asked for money to finance the film, and he got it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was getting some criticism because people were saying, well, wait a minute, why do you need money? You made a good amount of money. Why don't you finance it yourself? But if people want to give him money, who cares? It's their money.
Yeah, and it's considering that, you know, he had a success in 2004 with Garden State, you know, he's sort of, there's a proven commodity there. I mean, the idea that, you know, would you rather give your money to someone who created a movie, you know, like that, that a lot of people really liked, or some unknown who, you know, might have no backing whatsoever, no star power, no real actors, and give them $25,000 in the hope that the movie might never get even get made.
And how much did this cost?
Well, he raised the $2.5 million on Kickstarter. That was the sort of the, what they were calling the completion funds to get the movie made. So it wasn't like he got the entire budget on Kickstarter. It was just sort of like, you know, like I'll get half, and then you, if you can help me get the other half, we can get this movie made. And that's how it happened.
And how is the movie?
Well, I'm a fan of it, actually. I mean, Garden State was, you know, that was actually my favorite movie of 2004. And now, you know, 10 years later, Wish I Was Here is a movie that I think is, you know, it's kind of a cousin to that movie in many ways. It's a very interesting story about, you know, a mid-30s, you know, unemployed actor trying to, you know, teach his kids about, you know, sort of like the next stage of their own evolution, about teaching them about Judaism and, you know, whether or not there is, you know, something after this life that that we all have. And there's a real sort of interesting take between, you know, the sort of reality and fiction in this movie that I think a lot of people are ignoring in the face of, some people are really upset about the Kickstarter thing, and other people are just thinking that Zach Braff is up to his old tricks from Garden State.
Well, if people, like I said, want to send him their money, why do we care? It's the same argument I have when they're always talking about Tom Cruise's belief in Scientology. Why do I care what he believes in? Just do the movie,
right,
and if I want to go see it, I'll go see it.
Yeah, I mean, the Zach Braff thing hasn't really had nothing to do with, like, his take on religion or anything like that. It's just, you know, for some reason, there was a, I guess there was a memo in the last 10 years that apparently we're all supposed to hate Zach Braff now. I didn't get that memo, so I went in just seeing the movie like I normally would any other movie, and I saw a movie that I think is far more interesting than a lot of critics are giving it credit for.
There's a lot of stuff that I pay for via my taxes that I'd like to get back. That's what you complain about, when that you have to pay taxes, and if it's pissed away, then you get upset. This is
right.
a project that if you want to be involved in it, be involved in it. If you don't.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, frankly, I think, you know, where people are sort of upset with the Kickstarter thing is the idea that, you know, it's not so much that Zach Braff and, you know, people like Spike Lee and the Veronica Mars fans all got their money this manner, that they're going to be taking something away from some up and coming filmmaker. But what they're more worried about is really that Hollywood studios, you know, might say, like, oh, you want money to make your little movie? Why don't you go to Kickstarter? You know, and that's how it's going to be done from now on. So I think that's what people are a little more worried about, rather than, you know, whether or not Zach Braff's taking the money out of some kid in film school.
So you would give this movie?
3.5 stars, actually.
3.5 stars. And will it only be in a few theaters?
Yeah, it's opening in just a few theaters. There's some sort of contractual things with the Kickstarter, how they are able to, you know, release this movie. But if people go see it, they will get a bigger release on it.
Yeah, does he have a big film distributor, or does he have to do all that on his own too?
No, he's got Focus Features, which is, you know, it's not, you know, one of the biggies. It's one of the smaller independent arms of, you know, Universal has their part in that. So it's, you know, it's a smaller distributor, but they're, you know, they're not the most strangers to releasing movies like, you know, Brokeback Mountain and films of that type as well.
Okay. Wish I Was Here. Eric has just given it 3.5 stars. Sex Tape is opening too.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and really the only reason to go see this movie is if you want to see what Cameron Diaz's butt looks like in actual flesh. Because unfortunately, this is a movie that, you know, despite having a pretty raunchy, you know, idea for a movie, and, for, you know, potentially a really funny idea for a movie, it's really squandered. It's a really tame sort of film. The screenplay is kind of a gigantic mess. Jason Segel, for some reason, it's like there's something off about Jason Segel, who I've liked in so many movies, including Forgetting Sarah Marshall and I Love You Man, 5 Year Engagement. And he kind of did a polish on this movie screenplay wise with his partner, Nicholas Stoller, who also directed those movies and had directed Neighbors, Seth Rogen's film earlier this year. And you could tell that this film was rewritten and sort of hacked to death and isn't
put together really well. There's one really funny sequence, about 15 minutes, a 15-minute sequence in the middle of the movie involving Rob Lowe as Cameron Diaz's boss and the adventures they have trying to get the sex tape back from him in his house. That sequence is really funny, and it's so funny that it sort of stands out how the other 70 minutes are just so not funny. So it's really unfortunate.
What's the premise of the movie?
The premise of the movie is that the Diaz and Siegel trying to spice up their sex life. They used to be very sexually active. Now they're married and they have children. And so they're trying to spice up their sex life, wondering why they're not having sex anymore. So they make the sex tape, and they do it with his iPad, which then syncs up with all these other iPads that he gave out as presents because he gets free iPads at his radio station. Yeah, that's how it works, Gary, right?
Yeah.
You get free iPads all the time.
I got one when I walked in the door here.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how it works. So the video gets synced up to all the iPads he gave out, including one in the mailman. And so they have to go around town to get iPads until halfway through he realizes that there's a memory wipe on the iPad that he could have just pressed and there would be no movie then.
Oh, okay. And it sounds like you're heading into about 2 stars for this.
That's exactly where I'm going with that. And it would be less if it wasn't for that Rob Lowe sequence.
Remember I was telling you there's that scene where a dog gets thrown on the wall, and then they want to do CPR?
That's part of that's part of that sequence, yeah.
They throw a dog against the wall and then do CPR on him.
Yeah, well, the dog is chasing Jason Siegel. He's trying to get the iPad in Rob Lowe's house, and he puts on the treadmill, and the dog comes in contact with the treadmill at full speed and goes whoosh, right into the wall.
And they will get more blowback on that than anything they could do to a human in this movie, right?
Well, yeah, I'm sure Peter will be all over them for that. Maybe Peter will take, you know, with some of the positions that they do during the sex tape. I don't know.
Do they address it at the end of the movie where no animal was harmed or that was a computer-generated dog?
I think that's the case in just about every movie. I think in every movie they're required to put that, whether there's an animal in there or not.
Well, did they train this dog to go off the treadmill into the wall? Is it a computer dog?
It's clearly special effects.
Yeah.
I mean, the way it's presented, the way you see the dog literally hit the treadmill and just go off in like a millisecond, is really, yeah. That's part of the joke. It's so funny. And then they just sort of a slow motion hit as this, you know, dog goes against the wall.
And they give it
I
CPR.
Hope it was
CGI. Yeah. They give it CPR and it's okay.
Well, he calls up Siri. I mean, this is a preview. This is not in anything we're giving away. He calls up, asks Siri on his phone how to give CPR to a dog, and before he can give the CPR, the dog attacks him again. So,
all right, check that out in Sex Tape.
Dog's fine.
2 stars on that one from Eric, and The Purge: Colon Anarchy.
Yeah, sequel to a film from last year. Did you hear of The Purge last year, Gary?
Is this the one where you've got 24 hours to kill people? Is that?
Yeah, you got 24 hours, and basically all crime is legal. You know, that's the thing. Like, the way you just said it is, you know, that you have 24 hours to kill people. That, you know, why, when all crime is legal, with the exception of politicians who are exempt from The Purge, apparently, why you would immediately gravitate towards murder is really one of the things that neither of these films really address. Is like 364 days of the year, everyone is sort of building up to a murder binge for this one night, and they just go around flamethrowing people and shooting people. And I don't quite understand why you're not, you know, there's a distinct lack of looting in either of these movies. Would things like that would be the thing that I might try to do.
Well, that is funny, I guess, that I did say that. I just vaguely remember the trailer from the other movie, and all crime is legal for 24 hours, and looting, like you said, bank robbery, whatever, but we're all thinking murder. How about that? Or is that my problem?
No, that's the problem with these movies.
So
actually,
this movie is mostly murdering.
Yeah, everyone just, you know, they're like, oh, it's time for The Purge. Let's get our guns and our arsenal and go out and kill people. And, you know, this movie, the first movie was basically sort of like a very self-contained home invasion thriller, which is part of one of the many reasons that film really kind of sucked. This one expands things by actually taking us out into the streets during The Purge. City streets, I forget which city is, Los Angeles, I guess. And just the people are just out there in trucks with, you know, miniguns and, you know, flamethrowers, and they're knocking off homeless people. And I guess, I mean, the idea is that the government is, you know, that if we take this one day of the year to get all of our frustration out there, that it's going to quell crime for the rest of the year, and it's also going to cut down on those pesky unemployment numbers because apparently you're killing off all the unemployed.
Oh, that's great. So,
yeah,
you're killing innocent people, and that should do it for the entire year. That should get it out of your system.
Yeah, it takes place about 10 years in the future. These movies, you know, it's either a really kind of ingenious premise or a really stupid premise. And so far for two movies, they've really sort of leaned on the stupid. I'd really like to see a movie that actually, you know, takes all of these sociological questions into account of why this is a good idea. I mean, it's not like The Hunger Games where, it becomes this sort of revenge thing in this game, you know, designed to keep the population in check, and it becomes there's a rooting interest in certain things. This is just, you know, people just like, okay, we're going to go out and kill people now. And at the end of the, is there a stricter punishment if you do something the day before the purge or the day after the purge? These are the questions that these movies never ask, and they're really stupid, and people shouldn't see them.
And what's your rating on this one?
1.5.
1.5. And Boyhood.
Yeah, this is the movie that we briefly talked about last week. This is sort of Richard Linklater's project that he's been working on for 12 years, where he would get his actors together for just, you know, about a week at a time and film sort of a new chapter in their lives. So this movie takes place over the course of 12 years as a young boy from a divorced family played by Ethan Hawke and Trish Arquette. And you watch this family go through their ups and downs, and you watch this kid grow up, and you're literally watching him grow up before your eyes. And a lot of critics obviously are really responding to this movie. I just happen to be not one of them. It's a film. It's a film that doesn't. You know, if you're going to call your movie Boyhood, you know, I think that there needs to be some sort of greater arc to, you know, the child rearing that's going on with this kid, other than just seeing him, you know, get, you know, grow a mustache. throughout
12 years he's working on this. Eric comes in. That's it? A mustache?
Yeah, I'm just like, I just watched the kid grow a mustache. Not even a very good one. Because the only character in this movie that really has any sort of, like, change or arc through the course of this, you know, 12-year journey is the father, played by Ethan Hawke. His political views change. He becomes more responsible over time. The kid kind of just stays the same. It's like, oh, okay, now there's a girl, and okay, and now there's some drugs. And, you know, it's not really that fascinating a movie, and for all the people that are giving it the sort of the credence that, like, oh, what an amazing experiment and what a great thing that this guy did. Well, the Harry Potter movies basically did this. Yes, they were, you know, 8 different movies, but they knew when they signed on for the first movie in 2000 or 2001 that they were going to be doing these movies, you know, basically for the next dozen years of their lives. So we got to watch, you know, Hermione and Harry grow up over time. And to me, the Harry Potter movies, you know, even with all the magic and wizardry, really sort of had sort of a greater arc to what it's like to be a young, you know, person, you know, growing up.
And you give this one?
I give it 2.5 stars. It's not bad. It's kind of interesting, but I don't think it's the masterpiece that people are giving it credit for.
Wish I Was Here was your favorite out of the four, and that is the Zach Braff movie. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Eric.
Sure thing.
Have a good week. I'll talk to you next week. And by the way, if you can, I'm on the 22nd floor broadcasting next Thursday. If you want to come down and do it in the flesh.
Oh, I would be happy to.
Yeah. Why don't you make some plans to do that?
I will do that.
Okay. I'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
I've never met Eric, so that will be the first time.
So even growing a facial hair doesn't merit a star. Just 2.5.
No.
Oh, 12 years.
The trailer looks good. Again, that's what the trailer is supposed to do. I understand that. But there are trailers where I look at the trailer and think, there's no way I want to see that. If that's the best you can offer in a trailer, then the rest of the movie has to be pretty lame.
Especially when you're at the theater. I sit there and go, okay, I'm not going to see this one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see this one.
I think I've seen that one.
I'm not going to see this one.
With all of the special effects, this is just a rehash of that.
And although a lot of people are saying that about Zach Braff's movie.
They are.
That it's just
Garden
him
State.
Doing Garden State over and over.
Yeah. Owen.
Gary Meyer at the G.fm. The Super G. The Streamliner. We were talking about boating a few minutes ago. It says on this text at 312-521-8600, we live in the country on a lake. All right? And the sheriff is on the lake on the weekends. Oh, I see. We live in the country on a lake. I thought they meant in the USA. Of course we do. Could be anywhere, though, with the streamer. Pretty sure you need to be 16 to drive a powerboat or jet ski.
Leslie,
you know about these things, right?
Do you need a license to drive a boat?
Do you need a license to own a dog? I do not know, but I'll find out.
Well, maybe
well, this person...
Here's a text. That's why I left the lakes. The amount of idiots screwed it up for the rest of us, and no boat license is required.
See?
But they can attach issues to your driver's license.
Oh. I just remember saying, well, how is this kid 12 or 13 or 14? He's driving a boat here. This doesn't make any sense.
Under 10 horsepower, there is no age limit. I wouldn't, but have friends who let their 7 and 8-year-olds out in a dinghy with a small motor. More horsepower. You have hose power with that
with that
snake hose.
My DAP hose.
More horsepower. You have to be 15 with a boater's safety course. My daughter is counting the days.
That's what I'm saying. Illinois offers boating education certificate of competency to those who complete an approved safety education course. Course is mandatory for those between 12 and 17 years old who want to operate a motorboat without direct adult supervision. And it looks like even younger kids may be able to operate a boat with parental supervision.
Yeah, but parental supervision is going to help you when all of a sudden something happens, an accident can happen in a second.
There's a video that was sent to me where it looks like I believe it's in Japan. These people are filing into a movie theater and they're sitting waiting for the trailers to run or whatever, so the screen goes dark and they show a car. Somebody's driving, but it's from their point of view. You see the windshield and the top of the steering wheel, and they're driving along for about a minute, and everybody's wondering where's this going, because that's all it is. And then all of a sudden, they in the theater have some way to trigger all of the phones in the theater to start ringing. And everybody looks down, and at that moment, the car crashes into a tree, and it's all about...
It only takes a second.
Exactly.
Oh, is that cool?
If you look away for just a second, that can happen.
That is cool. So they can actually make everybody's phone ring.
Well, they showed up in the projection room somebody working a computer, so I took that to mean that they were able to trigger everybody's phone.
Yep. That was the explanation I saw.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how fast it can happen. And really, when you think about it, when you look down at your phone and look up, something has happened that you thought, well, if it was any different, that would have been bad.
My brother-in-law just lost the entire driver's side of his car because some chick in an SUV was texting.
Some chick?
Well, some lovely young woman in an SUV was texting and then wasn't paying attention, got to the red light and just locked it up. And in order not to go head-on into him, kind of veered left and just took off the whole side of the car.
Oh, really? Brian, you're on the dot.
Hello, Gary.
Put the drum down and talk to me.
Sorry, Gary. What's that Brian, pounding? Are you there?
Yeah, what's that pounding? Do you hear that?
Hear that?
Brian?
Hello. Yeah. Oh, Gary, there you are. Sorry. How are you?
Good. I hear pounding. That's why I said that.
And I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Brian, call me back. Call me back. We got a bad connection. All right? Because I can't take that drumming or whatever that is, even if it's some other sound. This text, passing Auntie Annie's at the airport.
Oh.
Smells good.
Yeah. That corn dog thing. I don't know what
to say. Get a pretzel dog.
A pretzel dog, yeah.
Or the cinnamon pretzel. Whew. I would love to know if they've had a surge of sales lately.
Since the last week or so.
I mean, if I'm listening to this and the way we talk about that stuff.
Oh.
It sounds like you want to
talk
dirty to it.
That pretzel that you were talking about, because the same thing happened to me. It was weird that we both had one. When we were away at an airport, there was so much cinnamon that, I mean, I was tasting cinnamon for like a day afterwards. It was in my, my clothes. It was in my,
Brian's back.
But his drumming is back again.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good, Charlie Watts. What do you got
he
for
still
me?
Has the drum.
I was just calling to let you know. I just actually heard information this past weekend. My in-laws have a boat up in Lake Geneva, and I don't know if it varies by state, but my wife's cousin, nephew, whatever you want to call it, he is 12 years old, and they said that you can get a permit and drive a boat by yourself, but you have to take a class. But you can be, I believe it's as young as 12 or 13, and legally drive a boat.
See, that seems too young.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Why not 16 like a car?
You're probably right, but at least it does answer the question that you had earlier of they have to pass a class to be able to drive the boat. Now, I don't know all the details. I don't know if an adult needs to be on the boat with them or not, but it is a requirement that they have to pass a certain amount of, I don't know if it's classroom time or water time, etc. But it does seem to be something that you don't need to be 16. Now, I know for adults like you and I that when I am on my wife's family's boat, either she or father-in-law, mother-in-law, everyone has to have a driver's license. I know that.
Yeah.
Because you can get pulled over by the police for speeding, you know, playing around, like reckless driving, reckless boating. They can pull you over and say, hey, you were screwing around too much, and so forth.
Right. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking my call back here.
No problem. Thank you. I just don't know what that pounding
what
is. It sounds like he's playing a hi-hat. If you're a drummer, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because I've gotten that treatment here a few times. Doug?
Hi, Gary.
Hey.
Hi, Elton Jim. Love the show on the internet, FM. Anyways, about boating first. I grew up, my father was in the Navy. We had boats. The actual driving a boat is pretty simple. The thing that makes boating dangerous is alcohol. People tend to drink, get out in the sun. They tend to not react well to that, and that's what makes boating so challenging.
Yeah, alcohol with any moving vehicle is not a good combination.
Exactly.
But,
and the Coast Guard will, if they do see you, if they're around, they will pull you over and ask for your paperwork and so forth and so on. But, I mean, all you have to do is pay attention to what you're doing. And, you know, you can learn how to, I mean, my father, I was like 8 years old when we first had our boat. Now, he was there. But you know, when I was in my teens, I had took the boat out myself. You just had to stay away, I think, from drinking, and you'd be fine.
Okay.
And no. Then you and Elton Jim were talking about the Hebrew word "hi" and the symbol "hi" that the Jews wear, and the word "hi" is a word, and it in the Hebrew alphabet all. Words have numerical meaning, and the word "hi" means life, and so that's why one of the things the Jews will wear. And the other thing is that the Hebrew letters combined equal the number of 18. So for Jews, the number 18 or any combination of 18 is considered good luck. So if you're giving someone a gift, like at a bar mitzvah or a graduation or something like that, you'll give it in multiples of 18.
Oh, all right. I will have to add to that part. Thank you, Doug. The reason that came up at all, I threw out a little moment there about 2 hours ago where I said, maybe next week on the broadcast on the 22nd floor, I'll give away these crucifixes that David Novotny, the master sculptor, offered to give me. Because he gave me one for my office about a year ago, and I really like it. Not that I'm this over-the-top Christian, but as an art piece, it's beautiful.
Right.
A lot of people come by my office and go, wow, that's pretty. And he said he'd make some miniature crucifixes. It's Jesus on the cross in metal.
But he's not in the state of pain. You know, he doesn't have, he's not named.
No, it's not where you go, for example, to Holy Name.
Yeah.
And there's that big cross and...
Oof.
there is Jesus hanging there, and you can't avert your eyes. It's right in front of you.
Especially with that big wound in the rib cage there. They always have that bleeding.
He's got that triple zero waist.
Yeah.
It's just, this.
That's just, he's giving a peace sign, I think.
It's very nice. It's a very nice metal
piece.
But
I mentioned, what if you had Jewish listeners that were there?
You said, what if they're not Christian?
Right.
What are you going to give them? And then I thought, well, if I'm going to address that, I think there are 3,000 organized religions. I can't make a peace to satisfy every religion that might show up, if there's a dozen different religions there.
I've seen these Jewish people that wear the chai that he was talking about.
Yeah, and that, okay. And 2 hours later, there's the follow-up.
There you go.
In the studio with me is Mary Bauer, and she is the head brewer at Lagunitas. Is that how you say that, Mary?
Lagunitas.
Lagunitas?
Yes.
And I was thinking it's spelled like Johnny Unitas. If you put L-A-G in front of Unitas' name, but that's why I went with it. It's Lagunitas, and Mary is the head brewer. Bauer Brewer, it's all fitting in here. Yeah. I talked to a man a few weeks ago who dropped off some beer. Who was that person I talked to?
Probably Bob Lackey.
Bob Lackey.
Yep.
And he called and said, we have this craft beer, and our place is where they do a lot of TV and film making. Chicago, according to Mayor Squeaky, Oprah was international filming. And there's a big studio, right?
Yeah.
You guys are with this. Is it
CineSpace?
CineSpace.
Yep.
And Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, they do all their stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's a huge complex, and you people are somewhere in that complex, right?
Yeah, we have one of their old movie sound stages that they couldn't shoot on because the train runs right behind it. So with the high-def cameras, they weren't able to get the shots that they needed. And so we were able to move in and make a brewery out of it. It was the old Ryerson Steel factory there. So it's 300. Our building alone is 300,000 square feet under one roof. So we got plenty of space. It's huge.
And that's where you brew this Lagunitas.
Lagunitas.
Johnny Lagunitas.
I got to stop because I got it in my head. It's Unitas. Lagunitas. That's where you brew it. And do you have access so people can come and sample and all that?
Absolutely. Our tap room just opened at the end of June, and you can come in. You can get a tour of the facility. So we have catwalks all throughout the building, so you can really have a bird's eye view of everything that's going on. They also give you free the taster samples with the tour, and then there's the tap room. So you can have a few brews and get some good food and enjoy some music. We have live bands every day that we're open, which is Wednesday through Sunday.
Where is this complex?
It's on the corner of 16th and Rockwell, Douglas Park area.
And that's west of downtown Chicago?
Just west, a little bit south. Yep.
Southwestern.
That'd be southwest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. West and south.
West and south. I put it together. Lagunitas. You brought some with you, and is it a screw-off cap?
No, they're...
Is there a way I can open one of these and take a sample? The carton... Says little something extra. Ale.
Yeah, we have a little something extra and little something. So little something is our aside from our IPA, which is our flagship, little something is our next best selling beer. And then Little Something Extra is one of our seasonal rotations that we're doing. And that one actually hasn't been brewed in 6 years, so we're bringing it back.
And it's available imagining in your Mariano's type places, or is it just at the brewery?
No, yeah, we're all over the place. You can pick us up at grocery store, Jewel-Osco's, liquor stores. Yeah,
that's a good place.
Absolutely, we're everywhere.
And you're a head brewer. I had a guy in a few weeks ago who was a brewer of craft beers. This craft beer thing has become huge.
Oh, it's blown up.
Yeah. You go into a store and there are aisles of craft
beers. You can't even.
Yeah. I mean, that area with Budweiser and Miller and that's over there. But these craft beers have taken over.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This guy that I talked to a few weeks ago, he met a guy at a bar. Yeah. I think they enjoyed marijuana together. And then he became a head brewer. I don't know. Is your story similar, or did you go to school for this? How do you become a brewer?
Yeah, for me, I studied chemistry and food science in college. And
what college?
University of Illinois. So I'm from Aurora, just out west here. So came home actually for this job with Lagunitas. But I started my career with Anheuser-Busch right out of school. Learned to brew on a small 15-barrel system that they had in their research pilot brewery, where they did some experimental brews and tried some things out. And then I went to supervise and manage then out at their bigger breweries. So spent some time in Cartersville, Georgia, and then ended up following my husband up to Minnesota with Pepsi. And then
so he's in the beverage business, too.
No, I took the job with Pepsi.
Oh, you did?
Yep, to go up there to be with him, and was dying to get back into beer. So it's such a fun industry to be a part of. So fun. Everyone to have people excited about coming to your work to see it, just to see what you do. I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Are there a lot of women in the head brewer area?
There's a few, but it's definitely more of a male-dominated
like
industry.
Everything else. You're breaking down those walls, though.
Yeah.
We're going to be a minority in about 10 years.
No kidding.
It'll be all women running things, and we'll just be running behind. Probably a better idea at this point, because guys have screwed it up enough.
No.
So you took classes in, what is it, food science?
And chemistry, yeah.
And chemistry in the way that you said, I'm going to be in the beverage business, that was your goal?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it was kind of, it's an interesting role because beer really makes chemistry fun. I mean, there's chemistry happening in our tanks at the brewery every day. So to know and understand, be able to troubleshoot, you need that foundation. But what also got me excited about moving into like a supervisor type role is working with people, and that's something I'm super passionate about as well. So you know, the brewers at Lagunitas are a fabulous group. They do a great job, and I love interacting with them every day. So it's a win-win for me.
Well,
to be able
how you got beer? If you're not interacting after a few beers, you're hopeless.
Yeah. We do a good job of getting along.
And people can just go to your facility. Is there an admission, or they just come in, and how does that work?
Yep.
Free admission, and then you just walk around and buy beers, listen to music.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's how it works.
Come on up to the tap room.
Sounds like a bar.
Yeah, it is.
That is pretty. It's a bar, and the cool thing about our tap room is it's right in the middle of the brewery, and it's elevated, and it's all enclosed in glass. So you can see everything happening around you too while you're in the tap room.
And you have how many beers in your company?
We have probably over 20.
Yeah. And they're all available at that location.
Well, a lot of them are seasonals. So we'll rotate through them. And the ones that we're doing in Chicago, we're increasing our portfolio. But we're up at about 9 right now. So for only been up and running for about 4 months, that's a good mix for us. But we're getting new beers to try probably every month or so. We're doing a new recipe.
This one that we're trying to find an opener for, so I can get a taste.
I thought she'd have one from hanging from her. Necklace.
I have one on my keys. I didn't bring my keys.
They didn't bring
your
keys in.
What head brewer doesn't bring the beer opener? Jeez.
You would think a radio station would have a bottle opener, since so many people have an issue with alcohol in this business.
There's a lot of razor blades I see around, but I don't know.
Yeah, why don't they get off of that stuff, come back to the winning team. How about a twist-off cap in the future?
Craft brewers usually have the pry-off, so.
I wonder, can we, do one of the fake things where you hit it on the
hit
edge
it on the
something?
Side of a event?
Yeah.
You're welcome to try anything you want.
Keith, do you have a bottle opener?
Nobody has a Keith. Swiss Army knife?
Keith, come on. First of all, if you want to continue on as the producer, bottle opener in your pocket at all time.
Our old producers used to have those all the time.
Oh, jeez. That's why they're the old producers. They're on step 11 now.
I'm trying to think. They got their chip.
Let me see if I can.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Thank you. This is a little.
It's a little something.
Something. Ale.
Something. Mm-hmm.
I like. You want the extra or the something?
I'll take a something. No, what did he take?
He took something.
Okay, I'll take the regular. This way we can get.
Well, that's the regular one.
Oh,
you took.
Then give me whatever you want. Well, they're cold.
Well, not for long if we don't find a bottle opener. 312-521-8600. Glenn is on. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, just wanted to, unsolicited testimonial. That little something is an unbelievable beer. My son turned me on to it. You're big on the college campuses, by the way. At And he said it's phenomenal, and he brought some home, and we went out to the liquor store when he came home beginning of summer, and I'm hooked. Phenomenal. Really great product.
Oh, that
awesome.
Is
awesome. Great.
Nice tasting beer. What do we got in this? What makes it different? What makes it?
I feel like Fonzie right
little
now.
Little something. You just pop them open off the edge of a file cabinet.
On the edge of a file cabinet. Hey!
Yes. So little something for us. It's actually one of our wheat beers. We have a substantial amount of wheat in that recipe. But, you know, for us, our trademark is definitely our hops. A lot of our beers are very hop forward, very, you know, have bitterness, but we use a lot of different hops to create different aromas and taste characteristics. So you probably get a little bit of a tropical note. There's some tropical fruity notes that we get from the dry hops. We also get a nice malty biscuitiness that's light. It's got a crisp finish to it, and that's the wheat in it.
And with all that wheat, it's like having a sandwich.
I know.
Which is good. And then you hop forward.
I taste some mayo in here, too.
I like hopping forward. Glenn, you know, you've tasted this, or your son has tasted it, and probably in large quantities if he's in college, so thank you for calling. Did you go right to Anheuser-Busch out of college?
I did.
Well, that's a nice step to get with a big company like that.
Absolutely.
On the resume?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got great experience from them.
But she's not telling you. She's just watched the Clydesdales.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
That was a fun part.
Yeah, I hope they put that Christmas commercial back on high rotation, the one with the Clydesdales and the snows going, and they kind of took it off of high rotation. I think when Anheuser-Busch was bought by InBev, is that the name of the company?
Correct, yep.
And they're from Belgium, right?
Yep.
They don't know the warm fuzzy that we like here in the United States, but I always loved that commercial, and they ran it for years, the same commercial. Yeah. And if you want to get into the warm fuzzy business, this Lagunitas, you should do a Christmas commercial like that. And I don't know if it would be a horse, but maybe some other animal, maybe chimpanzees pulling a cart of, because this is a craft beer. You want to go a little more low-key.
Well, they do have a woman with a bustier on the cover, so that might be an interesting Christmas.
Yeah, that is an interesting label that you've put together here.
Yes.
And I've got Tyler on. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Gary. Long time for talk. I love the new format. But,
thank you.
I wanted to tell you, to open that bottle up, what you got to do is get yourself a lighter, stick it underneath the top, put your thumb underneath it, and just use it like a pry bar. Works every time.
A lighter?
Yeah, a lighter. The back part of the lighter.
The lighter would be harder to find than the bottle opener. Nobody smokes here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Ramsey does. Where's he at?
Well, he's about 6 miles away from here. He's over at Channel 9. We did get them open.
Right.
You just put it on the end of a file cabinet and hit down on the...
Boom. Hey. I felt like I was hitting the jukebox.
We went old school on it, and we're fine now. It is very good, and it's hop forward.
It is. There's a lot of hop character. Mm. And these are definitely, I've noticed with our beers that you're dealing with a little bit higher alcohol too. So, you know, you're looking
too late now.
7.5% in our little something. So.
And what's the normal?
Most, you know, for a butter Bud Light's going to be around 5%.
7.5%.
And the something extra should be about 8.5 over there, 8.3.
And isn't wine around?
That's getting up there about 10 to 12.
Or 11, yeah.
She learned that in school.
Sure, well, she's a scientist. So, you know Avogadro's number?
Who?
Not off the top of my head.
She took chemistry. I just remember taking chemistry in high school, and we had to learn Avogadro's number.
Now, look at him throwing his mediocre education around. He's, all right, whenever you ask him, you go, you went to college, and he said that he boarded there.
No, I didn't board. I was a commuter.
What was that story where you claimed that you went to college and, but you commuted?
I commuted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't a boarder.
Yeah, I don't know how, whatever. 7.5% is already kicking in.
Yeah,
I swear to God.
Between that and the incense you had earlier in the office, this is like the 70s
I burned two sticks of incense today, and then I ran out of matches. So now I got to get a bottle opener and matches.
Or a lighter, man.
I'll just get the lighter, and then I'll have a bottle opener, and I can light my incense.
You know what's good about this craft beer craze? I'm not a huge beer drinker because of the fact that I always felt that every beer I tasted was the same.
Was similar.
You know, back in the 70s and 80s, and, you know, it's always, people would say, you know, what beer do you want? You go to a bar. I said, whatever. To me, it felt like it came out of the same spigot.
Sure.
But now when you have these craft beers, they're completely different.
They're right. They're all very unique.
Yeah.
And you can tell the difference.
And it makes it fun.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
American beers, domestic beers, although these are domestic, your big beers, your Buds, your Millers, and I'm sure some people will say that's not true, but overall, if they blindfolded you and you tasted two or three of them, right. I don't know if you could tell the difference.
Well, that's why I think Heineken was such a big deal when it came, because it did taste different mm-hmm. than all those other American beers.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was like, oh, this imported beer, and then that became a big trend.
But it does have that kind of skunky smell when you pop it open.
But it was different. Yep. Then all of a sudden Corona came in, and then suddenly, you know, the whole thing. But these, I went the other day because I wanted to buy one of those ciders. Is a big deal now.
Yep, ciders are very big.
And so now there's 1,000 ciders everywhere.
Why are ciders big?
It's just a trend that's been going through.
Do you guys know that?
Just ciders, they're not alcohol.
No, they're kind of hard. Well, some are and some are hard.
Yeah, hard ciders. Yeah, it's hard ciders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard ciders.
Yeah, they're gaining popularity.
But to find the hard cider, I went to the beer, you know, I figured that, and the craft beer section was three aisles.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
It was unbelievable.
It has exploded over the last 5 to 10 years.
And how do you really, I mean, you hate to say it, but a lot of times you pick it based on the label. Like, this is a cool label.
Yeah, well, how would you separate?
You know what I mean?
How would you have the knowledge of all these craft beers?
Yeah.
You just, they're mostly for, hey, pick one and see if you like it.
Yeah, and a lot of different breweries are doing different types of beer, right? So, you know, you may have an IPA from another place and you find that you like IPA, so then you're going to try another brewery's IPA to compare.
Do we know what IPA means?
Or that's a stock term, isn't it?
Am I stupid? Or
initial public offering. What is
India,
an IPA?
India Pale Ale. It stands for India Pale Ale. So, I mean, if you're going to go back to beer history, back in the day when India was a colony of England, they were shipping beer there, and it would spoil on the long trip on the boat. So they would put in a lot of hops, which have an antimicrobial factor to them as well, which would help the beer stay good until it arrived in India. Well, when you add more hops, you get a more bitter flavor. And then thus that type of beer was born. So, and that's actually what our flagship, which is called our IPA. That's the name of it, just IPA.
I imagine they call on Mary in the U of I, and she would give that answer. Explain how this worked when the beer was shipped to India. Mary?
Well, that was an essay question in one of her tests.
Right.
She was filling out the blue book.
All right. Well, Mary is working out of the brewery that's, again, at the Cinespace
mm-hmm.
building, formerly the Ryers. Boy.
Have a little something extra.
What we're doing is we'll have a state trooper come in, and I'll blow into the breathalyzer at 7, and you'll see how the damage is done.
So imagine what that extra 2% can do.
Yeah. Yep.
The Cinespace.
Cinnamon.
And again, where is that located?
That's on the corner of 16th and Rockwell.
And everybody's invited. They have an area to go and drink and sample these beers. They have seasonal beers. They move in and out.
Yep, tours, music. It's awesome.
Those big copper things. Is that what I would see then? Those big copper.
Ours are stainless steel.
You see a big copper if you drive on this stuff after 7 o'clock.
We always see those big copper.
The kettles and the vessels. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Ours are stainless steel, but yeah, you'll come see a ton of all of our tanks. We have 20. Actually, we just got 8 more fermenters today delivered, or by the end of the week, we'll have 8 more fermenters for a total of 36 750 barrel fermenters, 50 feet tall, huge vessels that we have in there. So
huge vessels,
huge vessels.
And the last tank is a drunk tank.
No, that's right here.
You will be visiting if you keep this up.
I love fermenters. I have 5 mentors.
Do a lot of people take those courses that you were in college? Is that a big area now to
for alcoholics?
to study? Are people thinking, well, this is growth industry here?
Absolutely. You can now go get a degree in brewing. There's Siebel Institute is here in Chicago. You can go there and study brewing. You can go to there's renowned programs all over the country and all over the world that many of the brewers at Lagunitas have gone to and devoted a couple years of their life to studying beer.
The homework is fun.
Yeah.
Extra credit.
Yeah.
Well, I was in pharmacy school, so I was on track in that direction.
This is the other side.
Yeah, it was a different
big pharma.
A big pharma was the way to go, and I was very happy until they told me to leave. Thank you, Mary. It was a pleasure meeting
Absolutely.
You. And check them out. Go out there. Do you have food?
Yes, food in the tap room.
Anything right now? I could use some chips.
There's a lot of wheat in this bottle.
Yeah, it's very hoppy. It's hop, would it hop forward?
Yeah, it's very hop, very, very hop forward.
Bauer from the Lagunitas Chicago Brewery.
Or Lagunitas.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mary.
She wants to get out of here fast.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
She's like, oh, my God, these guys got drunk on a half a bottle of beer.
Mission accomplished. Right. That's her whole business, is to get people geezed.
This is why Mary drinks.
Yeah, yeah, it happens.
Do you want your beer?
Oh, I'm going back.
She can get more.
Yeah. Oh.
She makes the stuff.
She's probably got her trunk full of this stuff.
BYO can opener, though, next time.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
Testing now.
Go.
Fastest 4 hours of the day. You got a great show.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Good evening, Montreal and Sauk Village. Adam Landerman is awaiting trial for the heinous murder of two friends.
Yeah.
With a plan to dismember and dispose of the bodies last year. Landerman, with three other knucklehead suspects, were at the house with the corpses.
Oh, Jesus, what's that smell?
While these Mama Lukes played video games.
Ooh.
Now Adam has filed a complaint about jail conditions.
What?
Saying he's forced to eat breakfast at 6:15 and lunch at 10 a.m. And the meals are completely inadequate in quantity to satisfy grown male detainees.
Somebody's got to give a not me.
And the jail only offers hand towels for showers.
I can't live like this.
Here's what I would do with this moron. Give him a towel the size of a dollar bill to dry off with. And Adam, learn how to make a pulled pork sandwich out of a bar of soap.
Man.
How about that?
You are one pathetic loser.
And hey, Stugatz, if you're unhappy with jail conditions, don't murder anyone.
Will you keep out of this or shut up?
The Ku Klux Klan in South Carolina is recruiting people by leaving bags of candy at people's houses. I hope there's no dark chocolate in those bags.
It's just a little humor.
I don't think that's racist.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting 70 feet above the ground in the Tribune Tower. On the Gear Force.
Shut that filth up.
On the Super G. Ah, the Streamliner. WGN.FM.
He's down on the phone.
Chicago. 312-521-8600. The other night, Bibble did a... I guess what we'd call a dead-on impression of Johnny from Michigan, and some people were offended. I thought, we got to put that to bed. Johnny from Michigan, the real Johnny, is on the phone. Johnny?
Hello, people in Chicago.
Hey, Johnny. I don't know if you heard about it, but...
Nope, this is the first time I heard about it, but there's nothing new to me because of my cleft palate, so I'm used to everything.
Because of your what?
His cleft palate.
Cleft palate, my Yeah, you know what cleft palate is?
Yeah, I know what that is.
I don't know. He had it.
I've had two cleft palate surgeries so I can speak.
Oh, okay. But Bibble decided that he can do an impression of you, and I don't want people to think that he was being mean towards you because we really like you.
I love Johnny.
Bibble got the coolest glasses, I think.
Coolest glasses. Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
For penance, when you come into town, he has to give you a pair of his glasses.
Are you crazy?
No, I'm not crazy.
Cool.
Yeah, that's cool. The deal. Hey, he made the bet. He's gonna have to lie.
Johnny does wear glasses too.
But all of yours aren't prescription, are they?
Some of them are. Yeah.
Some.
Am I? Oh no. Yeah. But, go ahead.
But
But all I was all that happened, Johnny, was, you know, you told your when you were giving your travel log of your trip the other day, it was it was hilarious. It was fantastic.
Oh, I had a ball going to the East Coast. It was a fun time.
No, and everybody enjoyed listening to you tell the story, and you tell the story in a fun way. You actually brought us there, and so we had, so later on a couple of days later, people were still kind of talking about it because they thought it was so funny, and Gary somehow mentioned you again, and I just said, "Well, I want to say hi to Ursula." And so then we just, I just sort of recapped the way you told your story about how you got stuck, you sat in a chair, and you were, you got in trouble, and how you went to...
No problem, Bubba Bibble. I've been called worse. I've been called ma'am, I've been called miss, I've been called...
But it was in no way making fun of you. We just wanted to kind of recreate because you told the story how you got up at sunrise, and you went to all the monuments.
Oh, yeah.
Now, so it was Johnny, I'm going to have Bibble do a little bit of his impression of you, and I want you to grade it, if you will. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds cool, because I just got my comics back being graded today.
Well, go to the Comic-Con over here, Johnny?
Oh, yes, I did.
And who did you see? What was that Japanese lady's name?
Yaya-han.
Yeah, she saw. So I got her autograph, and I went, got up at sunset, and we went to Jefferson Memorial, and then I went to Lincoln. And then I sat in a chair at the White House. And the White House tour was very short, wasn't it, Johnny?
About a half hour.
Yeah, it wasn't very fun, though. Weren't we disappointed?
A little bit, but hey, it's the White House, and so it could be worse.
Yeah, but we had the macaroni and cheese over at B.B. King's, didn't we?
Oh, the macaroni and cheese was delicious at B.B. King's.
Yeah, but we were upset because they played every good song, Disco Unlimited, except they didn't play Clinton and they didn't play Gloria Gaynor.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. But they were a good group. I got to enjoy the after party with them.
Right. So. And we went to the Mets game. And
took the test at Ellis Island?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You did with the shapes in the box.
Right.
You did really good on that.
Oh, yes, I did.
See?
Now he's starting to be a little silent. Now I'm worried.
No, so now, Johnny, are you having... So that's all I was doing. I was just kind of recapping your trip. I wasn't making fun of you. I was just trying to have fun.
Of course, he says that
that's been worse to me in his shirt. I was always called Opie and Richie Cunningham and... So I was always the only white kid in the classroom, so they referred to me as Opie and Richie Cunningham.
Oh, see, now he's just giving me more material.
Oh, jeez. Now it's got a racial component.
No, but in no way was I making fun. I was celebrating you. I love you, Johnny.
No,
in fact, if you remember, when you came to the window, I was the one who saw your note that said that my father is Dwight Eisenhower's dentist, and I told Gary...
Yeah.
So I love you, Johnny. I'm in no way trying to make fun of
you. Oh, cool. No, it's cool. I'm a little bit of a smart mouth in my family, so they deal with that. My family, I'm a smart mouth.
Well, I'll tell you what. You've been such an incredible addition to my program over the last few years that you know I'm very fond of you. And I'm doing my show on the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower a week from today. Now, I know you're not planning on coming back to Chicago until Halloween. What is the expense of you coming to Chicago if I were to help you with that, to get you here next Thursday?
Oh, next Thursday. Depends on how much the train would be.
Yeah, how much is it usually?
When I do it in advance, and I get right now, the train fares are from $33 and up from Royal Oak to Chicago.
Round trip?
One way, and I don't... Because I really don't have the finances to get to Chicago right now because I'm going to Toronto next month for the Comic-Con there.
Yeah.
So
it's $65 round trip. How much is the hostel?
The hostel's $30 a night.
All right. So
for $100 you can get Johnny here.
If I could do that for you next Thursday, could you come in or do you have commitments you can't break?
I can do that. I can come. I can change my dental appointments. So on next month, and the only thing I have was work on Tuesday.
Okay, this is next Thursday, so... All right.
So that would mean I would have to be on the train Wednesday or Thursday. I know there's a train that runs from Royal Oak, Michigan at about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's on time, I'll get there about 11 o'clock Chicago time.
That'd be great. And then you can stay overnight at the hostel and head back the next day. How about that?
Cool. So listen, when do you want me to come? I don't have money right now at all.
Yeah,
Gary.
That's why. No, we would pay for this, and I think actually Bibble should pay the whole freight because of what he did to you. I think that would be the decent thing to do.
What did I do? I
you made throw $100 away in nickels and pennies in a month.
I made him a star. What did I do?
Yeah. How about we split it?
What you could do is you could call Amtrak. Or I can check Amtrak's website tonight to see which ones to do to help me out. But that'd be great if I come to Chicago next week.
Yeah,
I can come on Thursday, and maybe go to Lou Monati's. Or I have not been to Geno's East yet. How's...
All right, I'll work on this. I'll get a hold of you tomorrow. How about that? And we'll see what we can do.
Cool. I'm free all day tomorrow. I got a question for you, Gary.
Yeah.
I have a picture from one of my friends I met in Times Square. Her name is Lola, and she's topless, but she has body paint all over her body. And I can send you an email of that picture if you would like to see what you think about it. And she's from Michigan, and so I took the picture with her, gave her a couple of bucks as a tip, and she took a picture. I got a couple of good hugs from her, and that was really cool of her. So, yeah.
Did she walk like a woman and talk like a man?
I heard that comment before. No, she's a real beautiful girl, and they also had the naked cowgirl going naked cowgirls there.
Johnny.
And,
Johnny's a little
horny. Yeah,
well, who is it? When you hear stories like that.
But I can send you the email of Lola if you want to see the picture of Lola.
Yes, and I'll put it on my Facebook page if I can, because Facebook is bizarre about that. But send it to me.
It sounds like Ursula's got a little competition.
Yeah, Johnny's not holding his hope.
Well, Lola said I can put it on Facebook, so she's on my Facebook page right now, too.
Yeah, but isn't Ursula going to get jealous?
I don't know. I talked to her about it. She said that it didn't bother her about it.
All right. Well,
I talked to her last week from New York after I left the stock exchange.
Okay. Well, I will get in touch with you tomorrow. Let's see if we can get this going for next Thursday.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be very cool. Yeah, I'd have to come in and see you. And I would like to have a pair of glasses from Baba Bibble.
I think that's the least he can do. He's got, I don't know how many pairs for his enjoyment of doing his impression of you. I think that's a fair trade. That's my thought.
I want to recommend somebody. Since I got my comics graded from the Comic-Con at CGC Guarantee Company.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Florida. If anybody has comics that they want graded, they are really excellent customer service. I got my comics back today. I got four comics graded, and they're all high grades.
And so, do they give you the worth of the comic, too?
They give me an estimated value, but the two comics I have that are highest grade are Batman Detective Comics number 0 at 9.8 and Superman Action Comics number 0 at 9.8.
And that's good, right?
Yeah, 9.9 is the highest grade.
Okay. All right, Johnny, I'll be in touch tomorrow.
Thanks. I got to talk to my cousin Marina to let her know what's going on. She's the one that's a Catholic sister, so I got to talk to her about things.
Okay, we'll figure it out. If you can do it, we'll do it. Otherwise, don't worry about it, but we'll talk tomorrow.
I can do it next week. I have nothing going on next week, so this is excellent.
Good.
The only day I can't do it now is Tuesday.
Okay, so. It's Thursday, so don't worry about it.
Thank you, Gary. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay,
thank
say
you,
hi John. To Ursula. Say hi to Ursula.
Hey, Ursula, baby. What's going on? Hey.
Okay. Thank you, Johnny.
There you go. See?
Edward?
Now, all those people that are all...
What's up?
Can you not put us both on together?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to talk to Johnny? I thought...
Dude, I will chip. I'm going to start the fundraiser right now. I'll chip in $3.
$3. Get Johnny to Chicago.
Get Johnny to Chicago. We got $3, so I hear $4.
No, you every caller chip in 50 cents, a couple bucks or whatever. We'll have it send in with an envelope. You tell me where to send it, I'll send it in.
Now,
That guy is a rock star.
Thank you, Edward, but we'll take care of it on this end. There's probably $50 in coins around Bibble's car in the parking lot.
Ask Leslie. She picks them all up.
Yeah, she's living large off his... His throwaways.
I got a good idea for Johnny for you, too. You know how there's so many comic book movies coming out lately?
Right.
He should do the reviews for those, baby.
Yeah.
Because we don't know the backstories, the way his energy is.
Well, I don't really like the Green Lantern, but I do like Captain America, and I like Thor.
Hey, can I swear, or you guys can't swear?
I was issued a memo the other day. You may have noticed a little.
Am I allowed?
No.
Well, Edward, in fact, I said this to Craig because when I got the memo from Dilbert, it said, all right, stop the swearing. And I'm thinking, okay, but if a caller is on with me and decides to throw out anything, there is no delay.
I don't have a dump button.
No, so I can't.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
I'm not saying it. I'm just going to say I discourage it, Edward. What do you need to swear about, by the way?
That's just funny shit, my friend. Keep it up.
Edward.
Thank you, Edward.
That wasn't nice.
Thank you, Edward. Well, then, if Edward's going to give $3, then I only need 97 more.
I think we can cover that.
You're going to make him stay at the hostel, though?
Oh, geez, what, I'm putting him at the Four Seasons? Suddenly I'm $500 into Johnny. I love Johnny, but
come on.
He's comfortable at the hostel.
He loves the hostel.
Yes.
He learns, he met people from Brazil.
Plus, here, you don't want to make it where it's not Johnny anymore.
No, right, yeah.
You want Johnny to be Johnny.
Although,
otherwise,
there's something to be said for the fish out of water. I mean, can you see Johnny at the Four Seasons?
Does the station have any deal with a hotel?
I want to say the one next door.
Yeah, maybe the hotel in Ricardo.
Now, let me figure this out tomorrow.
But there is a lovely hostel right in University Village in the South Loop area.
Well, I think
between Roosevelt and Columbia College.
That's
and
maybe
DePaul
where
there.
He stays.
Yeah, I think that might be the one.
At every hostel in all these big cities. That's where he stays.
I want to say it's right on Columbus near State. Right. That would put him right in the neighborhood.
We'll get him here.
Yeah. What does he need a room for?
Well, you should show him how you live.
Yeah, just let him come in at 3
sleep
and leave at 7.
Sit in a chair in a hotel lobby.
Well, no. Get him back on the 8 o'clock train back home.
Johnny, and you can take him to the train station.
That's all.
As you hand him a pair of glasses.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, it's a compliment. He likes your glasses.
Yeah, I know, but these aren't cheap.
What's the cheapest pair you have in your briefcase?
We'll
and how
look,
many pairs
I mean,
do you have? 20 pairs in
I
a briefcase?
25, 26.
25 pairs. And I just sounded like Jenny.
25
pairs of glasses in
my
briefcase.
Bumble Bibba's glasses.
And the cheapest pair that you carry around.
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's some just, you know, throwaway sunglasses.
Right. That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Give him one of those.
I mean, but these prescription things, I mean, these are $200-$300. These aren't cheap.
No, he can't wear them anyway. They're prescription.
Yeah, that's true.
Bibble changes his glasses as he drives in on the Eisenhower.
Depending on my mood.
Certain exits, I feel purple lenses.
Oop, I'm at Damon.
It's time for
red lenses.
So he has the briefcase open on the passenger seat, and he just changes glasses as he drives in.
But you see, everybody making such a big deal. Johnny is the nicest guy on earth. I meant no harm. He took no harm. So let's put this to rest, and let's enjoy the Johnny impersonation.
Yeah.
Because
we heard from Ursula.
Ursula said, it's okay if he does it.
Here's the whack pack that's assembling. If I can get Johnny in, I got Joe coming in, right?
Oh, you got Joe?
Joe, and she's usually toast by about 4 or 5 o'clock.
I care.
You know what it is. It's the Mexicans.
Well, why does the Mexicans? Let him go home.
You know,
put him on the bus and let him go home,
I don't want to pay for that.
No. I mean, I used to go to the saloon, and I would say, go back on the bus.
Did Craig have the number of that guy who has that voice like this because he had throat cancer?
Oh, that guy's name is Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he hasn't called, and he hasn't left any messages on my voicemail in the office, which he usually did all the time. I guess he's been disconnected from the broadcast.
Well, you know, it's funny, though. Didn't he, you know, what's funny is he probably could listen even easier because didn't he move to Texas? Remember that story where he moved?
I don't. He said he was moving to Texas?
He left here. And he said he moved with his wife for his father. I mean, there was something where
really?
I thought he moved to Texas.
No, I don't remember that. All right.
Well, you had a few.
Gary, I will pay for airfare if he wants it. That's my friend George.
There you go.
Airfare. George Bliss, my friend George, said he'll pay the whole freight.
Pay the whole thing.
Free food at Miller's Pub.
Oh, there you go.
Because George's uncle owns Miller's Pub.
Oh, excellent.
This is going to be
That's right by the hostel.
Yes.
Johnny's going to be living large.
All right, George, thank you. Yeah, George will take care of it.
Well, you know, I was cleared for the White House, so I should have no problem getting cleared for an airplane flight, Gary.
I think I'm going to be as drunk as Joe next Thursday.
Man, I'll tell you, this beer.
Cardinal wants to pay for these people. Why are they here in the first place?
Yeah, I'm really pissed off about that, Gary. I mean, why do we have to pay for these 400 people?
Are we going to have some Lagunitas next week?
Or as Gary says, Lagunitis.
Lagunitis.
Lagunitis. And that was before
started
drinking.
Took a sip.
Wow.
Well, I mean, in his defense, the word like Johnny Unitas is there.
Yeah, that's why I looked at it and I... Unitas.
Lagunitas.
Lagunitas.
Lagunitas. Lagunitas.
It's one of them.
Well, I would have, and I'm sure they would have dropped some off, but we cannot have alcohol up there because of some legal problems that would arise. People out in the open, 22nd floor, alcohol.
You should really. What you really should do, now that you say that, is maybe, I mean, you've already done that, but maybe a remote one day would be fun to just have all of the Gary Meyer Whack Pack in the audience.
Well, what is that Whack Pack? I just mentioned Johnny and Joe. Who else is in it? Uber Cubs fan?
I think Uber Cub fan definitely belongs there.
Who else is in it?
I'm trying to think who else. There's a few regular. That Matt, the trivia guy.
that guy that's the pirate. He goes on those pirate
Trevor
things.
Whatever
happened to the guy who used to sell the cologne on Michigan Avenue in Warham?
Shalimar.
But he hasn't been around a long time. He wasn't even downstairs for the longest time.
Well, I'll tell you, there used to be, probably the height of whatever would be considered your Whack Pack was when we used to do the walk-up window, because there was a steady stream the same people there pretty much every week.
Mushroom Steve.
Mushroom Steve?
I hit some hard times, Gary. I'd really appreciate you talking to me.
That was
Who's
the guy.
Who's your Wisconsin friend,
That
too?
Was the guy. Mushroom Steve is the guy who moved.
Right. Okay. Gary, the guy with the throat like this.
Right. No.
No, he's still around.
No, Mushroom Steve is the guy who moved to Texas. Right. Okay. I got my Whack Packers mixed up.
Here, listen
Who's
to this.
Who's your pal from Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. Then you got
Carl from Plover.
Carl from Plover.
Sure. Your throat cancer guy called John Williams once soon after John started. John recognized him on the air as Gary's frequent caller.
Oh, really?
See, he's still on the AM because he probably doesn't have this capability.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what I can assemble.
Anna? Your powder woman?
The woman who powders up and showers before the show. She can't listen anymore.
There,
but
definitely.
All right,
so
Leslie.
There you go. There's 10 right there.
Oh, yeah. I got a whack.
Whack pack and the Gare Force, huh?
On 8600, 312-521-8600. Tomorrow, I'll give away another 5 pairs of tickets to the broadcast that's going to take place a week from today on the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower. It is a limited space, so I can only give away 15 pairs. I gave away 5 pairs earlier today. What I'll do is tomorrow I'll ask a trivia question about the show, and then you will send your answer to C. Collins at WGNradio.com. That's C. Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S at WGNradio.com. That is Craig Collins' email address. That's my producer, one of my producers. The show has become so massive, we need more than one producer.
He's the Kruh in the Kreeth.
Yeah, I got Keith, I got Craig, and then I got Aaron. And I'll ask that question tomorrow. Email the answer. The first 5 that are correct will get a pair of passes, and then I'll do another one on Monday. And that's 30 people, and that's all I can get up there right now.
And now that's going to become a very coveted...
You hope.
Duck it when the prospect of Johnny from Michigan being the star of the show.
Well, Johnny, yeah, he's a draw.
That's what I mean.
I was trying to figure out who is in my Whack Pack, and somebody texted me and said, well, you got that Danny
from Elmwood Park.
Elmwood Park.
Right.
Has he called since I've been on?
One time he did.
One time,
yeah,
so he's out there.
Because he was complaining how he couldn't get it on the stream.
And then that Lisa, remember Lisa from Oak Park?
Oh, Lisa. Yeah, Lisa.
She would
Logan.
Always talk about Beverly Hills.
Lisa from Logan.
Because she used to live there.
Yeah.
And there was one other one, Carl from Plover. I'll try to get a hold of him.
You have easily, you have 10 people. Easily.
Yeah?
Oh, I would say. I mean, I don't know how easy they are to contact, but you certainly had at least a small little group of at least 10 to 15 people that would call on a semi-regular basis. Because you had the no-fly zone.
Right.
To the point where you said, right. Okay, enough.
Well, sad to say, a lot of that is born out of the fact that the format really burns people like that, too. Because you have a limited amount of time to talk, so if they got on often, they filled a lot of the space that I had. And after a while, it burns, and then people go, I don't want to hear them anymore. On this format, I don't know. I don't know if it burns as much. I guess I already got some blowback yesterday after Joe's call. Joe has jumped the shark. Geez, Gary, can't you guys afford to put Johnny up in a nice hotel instead of a hostel? Really?
The Dodgers? Really?
Saturday, I was walking down Michigan Avenue. I had a Dodgers cap on. It was my daughter's softball team's cap. They were the Dodgers. And a guy looked at me. I don't know. It's not like he knew who I was or anything. It was just, he looked at the cap. The Dodgers? Really? Like, what the hell does that mean? The Dodgers? Really?
What's so funny is the one time you wear a hat, and then you get grief for it.
Yeah, I rarely wear a cap
I
of
mean.
Any sort.
I never saw you wear a cap. One time you
the
do.
The Dodgers?
You,
really?
You get grief.
Okay. And somebody mentioned somebody else in the whack. Let me see if I can find it. But
oh, well, they said there was
the guy with the voice like this.
Anybody at the
Lisa? And, the limo driver. Remember Vince, the limo
Vince
driver?
Yeah, because he used to always get on Tom's back.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd get, and ask these elaborate questions every day.
Yeah.
So he was put on the no-fly list.
Because, I mean, Tom would literally know him by voice. He was like, oh, Vince.
Vince, how you doing?
Yeah.
Here's a text. Hey, you started playing commercials. Yeah, that was part of the memo the other day about no swearing, at least on my part. And
when did you swear?
Well, there was a volley the other day when Joe mentioned that song, A-Holes.
Yeah, I know. But
no A-Holes or whatever that was playing at the bowling alley.
You can't say that word?
No, that's one of the words. And then the memo said, I had commercials since I started here on the program log, but I assumed they were just there in case I needed to get up and stretch my legs and go to the bathroom. I thought they were freebies for the clients. They weren't paying for them. They just threw them on here. So I was told the other day that they have to be played. But that was going to happen at some point because
there's still 20, 25 minutes of
they're going to have to play commercials, run commercials to make this thing viable because they don't want it just sitting here, commercial-free, burning electricity, paying us, and no income. So that's the deal.
It still is a commercial enterprise.
Yes. I mean, so that's going to happen. It started. It started as of yesterday. Now, the commercial load is probably not going to be as heavy as you've been accustomed to on commercial radio. That's why it's called commercial radio.
It's about 6 minutes an hour.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that what okay.
3.5 minutes each break.
Yeah.
There's two breaks. So it's 6 minutes. You've got, 54 minutes of non-commercial music.
There is a citywide convention next week. Hotel rates are outrageous.
Uh-oh.
Well, Johnny, back to the hostel.
Back to the hostel for Johnny. I really think you should just blow him in and out. Bring him in here.
That's how you do it.
Bring him in here. Maybe a 9 o'clock train. It'll take him 6 hours to get home at 3 a.m.
That's great. That's terrific. After you've now made some kind of name for yourself doing my Johnny impression.
Well, everybody else I do dies. Ron Santo died on me.
Here's my fear now. Joe, I think you're gonna burn out, Joe.
Here I am, Gary. No, what I'm talking about now. Are you going to have that nice girl singer again?
Oh, that Emily who sang at the Portillo's broadcast.
Yeah, she was so good.
She's welcome to come up, too. Joe, yeah. My fear is that now if you're on every day, that people are going to not like you as much. I don't want that to happen.
Well,
screw that.
I just wanted to say if she's going to be on. I really like her a lot.
All right, well, I'll see if she's available.
That'd be good.
All right.
So who do you think shot down the Malaysian flight there, Joe?
What?
Who shot down the plane in Malaysia?
You know what? I just heard that story when I turned my radio on, which was just a while ago, in fact. And I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, well, you know about it now. What do you think?
It wasn't the immigrants, was it?
No, it wasn't the immigrants. Those guys, those are teenagers. They be shooting on our streets.
Those damn immigrants. Joe, I want to keep you fresh for next week, so we'll end it here, okay?
Okay, talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Uh-oh.
No, I just don't want to. No, I know. Because that's going to. Now that she's hooked up, it will burn, even though it's the internet. It's different. I understand that, as I just mentioned, that those people can burn white hot on a different format, and you can burn white hot here, too, if you're not careful. And I appreciate Joe. I like Joe. We got her set up with a way to listen to the program. It's just that you got to limit some of these things.
How many radio personalities, even on the radio, ever bought or at least worked out a deal for their listeners to get free equipment?
And that person is Brian. He will be at, I've invited him and his wife to come to the broadcast because he's been so nice about going out there and helping her get set up.
He's had to go out there a couple times, right? Or just one?
Yeah. He's been out there several times, and he lives quite a distance from where she lives.
Really? Okay.
So he's been very nice about that. Yeah. This text, we love Joe. Calm down. I love Joe, too. But we just want to make it so it's not overrun and burned out. Right? Am I right?
Is he right?
Here's a story. Real chimpanzees attended the weekend premiere of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes in Myrtle Beach. This is a true story. I thought this was fake, and then we checked on it. It's a real story. Two of these chimps sat there and watched the movie. I put that in my opening when the movie opened up as a joke, and somebody brought two chimps to this movie. I would love to have been at that theater to watch their reaction. That's how we are portrayed? Oh, a screen screecher.
Don't go in there!
That's bullshit!
He's got a gun!
They're back there, thumbs down.
Thumbs everywhere.
Thumbs everywhere.
Thumbs in their mouth.
Because that's what they do. They got the big thumbs.
And they're smoking.
Mm-hmm. I loved when they were on TV shows like those variety shows back in the day, and they would have shorts on and roller skates.
And smoke.
And smoke.
The orangutans.
And nobody, there was no group that protested.
Peter Schmida.
They looked like they were having the time of their life.
Well, finally, I had always mentioned when you talked about this that Lancelot Link, and then you saw it on YouTube. Remember I told you there was a TV show where the chimpanzees dressed up, and it was like a Maxwell Smart show with apes.
And they did smoke.
And they smoked, and they played instruments.
And they were brilliant.
It was fantastic.
Hello, Mata.
Hi, Lance.
And then it's all this politically correct crap.
If you can't have a smoking ape, what can you have? It'll be interesting to see what happens now in the next one, because I would assume that the next one then will become the Society of Apes. And then they would probably be doing all the human things, like smoking and doing everything else.
And running radio stations, which is already starting to happen. It happens. 312-521-8600. Now, see, you can't win. We need more Joe.
We need more Joe. The other day, she jumped the shark. That's why you can't get so sensitive about all these texts.
I try not to. But I,
you know, the Johnny thing was funny, and all weird about it.
I want to make sure because I had not talked to him.
I know.
If he heard back.
He doesn't listen to the show.
I know. He doesn't have the capability either. Brian's going to have to drive to Michigan and set him up. This is a hands-on broadcast.
One listener at a time.
That's what it's
That's how you build an audience.
Hey, earlier today, if you're just joining the program, my show was number 3 in the tune-in rankings. There are 100,000 radio stations on tune-in. I was number 3 for a moment.
And in the words of Jim Ramsey, and why would they listen to you?
Yeah. Who in Mexico cares a rat's patoot about you?
You're big in Iceland, I bet.
By the way, speaking of Jim Ramsey, Keith, have you edited that latest script from him? Is it ready to go? Can you find it? I want to play what Jim did earlier, and we haven't done his weather forecast.
His weather, yeah.
You got his weather forecast, too, from earlier?
Well, tonight we'll have a few early clouds, and then after midnight tonight, the skies will clear. Low temperature will drop to about 58. Then on Friday, a few passing clouds, high temperature 82. On Saturday, partly cloudy, high of 84. Sunday, mostly cloudy, up to 87. And then on Monday, partly cloudy and more humid, high of 92. Tuesday, the clouds will increase late in advance of some rainfall on Wednesday, high of 93 on Tuesday. From the WGN Weather Center, this is Jim Ramsey.
Thank you, Jim. All right, I'm sorry. Now here's what he did about his love of Chicago today that I wrote for him.
It's called The Golden Hour by filmmakers. The 60 minutes in late afternoon when the sun's angle is such that everything it illuminates is bathed in a brilliant gold. My suggestion when in downtown Chicago is to go to the Michigan Avenue Bridge during the Golden Hour and look west along the river. All the buildings lining Wacker Drive will be lit up like a Thomas Kincaid painting. Snap pictures and Instagram them to people you know who live in crap cities. Sit back and watch the envy. When this orgasm of photography is over, head to Urban Outfitters, a store that's contents can best be described as industrial foreclosure. Stock up on items like a foosball drink stirrer set, dish towels with elephants on them, a teeth wall-mounted bottle opener, or a ninja bottle opener. When you walk out of Urban Outfitters, make a left and half a block down, grab a cupcake at Sprinkles, where you will drop $3.50 on one of those delicious bad boys. And I believe Delicious Bad Boys is a bar on North Halsted. Whatever you're into, Chicago probably has it. And if we don't, we know a guy who can get it for you. After shopping, eating, and strolling, maybe public transportation is something you'd like to try. Just stay off the Orange Line until they capture those armed robbers.
Thank you, Jimmy. Speaking of Urban Outfitters, I walked past one. I got to go in the one on Walton again soon, but I was walking past. I didn't have time to go in, and I think I noticed a teapot that looks like a spaceship. Because this stuff is really cool, directed towards millennials.
That's pretty cool, though.
And if you noticed in that Jim Ramsey piece, there are a lot of drinking accessories.
Definitely.
A lot of bottle openers and anything that has to do with drinking. The Ninja bottle opener, as I mentioned, the foosball drink stirrer set.
Or as he said, foosball.
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 And that teeth wall-mounted bottle opener. It's a set of teeth that you screw onto the wall, and you open it off the teeth.
Like the chattering teeth kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. If you're 22 years old, that's aces.
I can only imagine how cool my apartment would have been with some of this stuff.
Sure, because you were the coolest guy.
Oh, yeah.
You could have been a cardinal.
I would certainly have been a cardinal by now. I have no doubt.
If you entered the priesthood.
Yeah. Well, because I'd be, you know, at least 30 years. I would have done my time.
Okay. Here's a text. Is Bibble paid? No. No. This is a work release community service thing for him because he's blowing so many red lights.
I don't know if that's a compliment or a...
It's a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Windmill. I'm sure you walk around. Windmill. Hey, honey, Gary says windmill.
I really did. It just windmill. Popped in my mind today.
Windmill. I just said windmill.
Windmill. Win a meal.
I got to go into that Urban Outfitters because it's all of this stuff, and it's a lot of rubber.
Yeah.
Like a rubber phone and just rubber stuff, and then a lot of books about sex that you can put on your coffee table.
So basically what you're saying is millennials... drink.
I don't. They
have
think
sex.
That's apparently what they think.
Well, they would be out of business if they were wrong, so they must be right.
That's why it's called Urban Outfitters.
Well, I was hanging out with my godson. He's 28, so he's right in the sweet spot of the millennials, and they rented a pedal bar. So case closed.
Yeah.
If they're not into drinking, then I don't know who is. And if you go on these on their Facebook pages, they just love to take pictures holding the bottle of beer. That is like the iconic picture. You got to be holding
your beer in your hand.
Shouldn't your parents warn you that this is going to ruin your chances of finding a job sometime in the future?
Yeah, that's going to stay with you. And that is a permanent record. Yeah. I know years ago they said it's on your permanent record and there wasn't any.
Yeah, Zuckerberg, now there is. Zuckerberg created the permanent
record. Now there is.
Right.
But Leslie, have you been to an Urban Outfitters? You know
I have.
Talking? Yeah.
Well, you've got a millennial daughter, don't you?
I have a millennial.
Is she into that stuff?
She was for a while, yeah.
Phone made out of rubber.
You got it.
A little Etch-a-Sketch.
A mini Etch-a-Sketch.
That you put on your coffee table, apparently.
Right. We have little robot features and miniature. Well, she bought me, I want to say it was there. No, it was at one of the other kitschy stores that she bought me my miniature Albert Einstein doll.
Right. Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That really you have no use for, but apparently it looks good on your coffee table.
Right.
Well, I bought we went to Pittsburgh, and I went to the Warhol Museum. I said to my wife, you know, it'd be cool if they had in this gift shop, if they had an ornament of the Andy Warhol banana, you know, like the famous banana on the Velvet Underground. Sure enough, they had one.
How much?
Like $15.
You bought it.
Bought it.
Great. I thought you were trying to declutter.
I know.
And now you're back.
And now you need the Marilyn Monroe and the Campbell soup can to go with it.
Yeah. But I thought that was really cool, the little banana.
And something like this, it's a dish towel with a bunch of elephants on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you need that.
That's kooky.
It goes with your IKEA furniture.
The moon nightlight.
The moon nightlight.
Here it is, the tin can robot kit.
Oh, that's
there you
cool.
Go.
Yeah, make it
right.
Yourself.
Yeah.
DIY.
Very cool.
The poppin' scissors. It's just scissors that are like a day glow yellow.
Yeah, they like the bright colors.
The millennials?
The youngsters.
Those people?
The millennials.
So in the middle of the night, they can see the scissors?
I guess.
Is that why they need that?
It's just fun. Everything's fun. It's always fun.
The Lazy Bones collapsible wooden skeleton. That's good to have on the coffee table.
Sure.
How big is your coffee table?
Where else are you going to put this stuff?
I'm just saying, everything's on the coffee table.
Okay, or on your kitchen cabinets.
You need a dining room set table.
All of them have computer desks.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have to have your personalized computer desk with all of your Dayglo stuff.
And all your little tchotchkes. Well, that's been going on.
Skeletons.
For years,
and
the pool shot set. It is shot glasses with the numbers of pool balls on them.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you got the rack. And you
nice.
Put it on that.
A party.
The shot glasses come in a rack?
Yes.
Oh. I'd even buy that.
$45. Online only.
Oh, man.
The bacon cocktail shaker. And
oh,
on
bacon.
The shaker, it's what's shaking, bacon?
Everything bacon is cool. Although, I'm sorry, I think it's 15 minutes or up.
Yeah. Bacon is getting
But there was, yeah, there was... Yeah. Because I want to say you could buy bacon toothpaste and bacon soap and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stop by there and.
Well, I found in one of my mom's bins, again, as I've been rummaging, this cool, we put it in our kitchen. You remember like these giant, they're glass kind of bowls that were wide and then they had like a round bottom. They were kind of small on the top. They were round.
Like shaped like a brandy snifter?
Yeah, exactly, like a brandy snifter. And this one is orange, and it says snacks on it.
Did you find that after the last rites kit?
It was in the same one. So now we have that in the kitchen. It looks pretty cool.
And where's the last rites kit that you found you talked about earlier?
Where is it?
Yeah, is that on display somewhere?
No, I don't have it on display. I just put it back in the bin. But it was, I mean, I was like, what? And then
you know, as you talked about that earlier, we had ours, as I said, inside a crucifix. And now I realize my husband's mom had one of those things, too.
Really?
Because we did have it when she passed away. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it was, I thought the coolest part of it was how old these candles were because the pictures
of the popes were falling off.
Were so old, they were crumbling.
It actually had Peter.
That's all.
The first.
I gave you a song, right, to wrap
yes,
things up with. And come August 1st, that'll be the end of the music, too.
Period?
Yeah, because they have to pay, they say, for the licensing, the rights or whatever. And
I thought this was the future.
Yeah,
sounds like the past.
Well, every day it's something, isn't it? Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow, I'll have more passes to give away for the rooftop broadcast on the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower. That's happening a week from Thursday. I'll give away more passes tomorrow and on Monday. Good night, and here are the Raspberries on .fm. We'll be right back.